I mean, it's not bad. I just don't taste pumpkin.
You never do.
So, Rox, when we get more people on, I will tell you the great story of me picking my grandmother's pumpkin.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
She totally deserved it. She was a bitch. Oh, no. It's just she's a diabetic. So, you got to hear
that. Oh, okay. We'll wait.
It was awesome.
So, did you get caught up? We got so much to talk about.
I am caught up on everything but alphas right now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about that.
And I am furious at Warehouse. So we gotta bitch about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but my niece is going for Halloween. Okay, so she wanted to go as something scary. So she picked out a Grim Reaper outfit. Uh-huh. And my sister just could not stand it. And so she was like, what about this one? And she picked out a Batgirl. And she goes, you'd look really cute in it and you'd get more candy. My niece like threw the Grim Reaper over and grabbed the Batgirl. So I had to tell her what Batgirl was about this weekend.
Oh, I thought you said Black Girl. I said, that's not very appropriate. I know you're in the South and all, but.
Batgirl?
Okay. Mama Nymphos, that's all I have to say.
Nymphos, and you are bad. It's because you are deaf in a couple of years, from what I can tell.
Really?
Well, he keeps hearing Nymphos, and that's not what I said.
Exactly. You did not say Nymphos.
You hear Nymphos, and I did not say Nymphos.
No,
I said
you got it right the first time, see?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I
you did.
It backwards. Oh, my God. So what else is going on? How hot is it in Florida?
Oh, my God. It's got to end. It's October.
It was
90 yesterday.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool.
Not really.
I was like, I'm bringing shorts. Yay.
Oh, for your thing. You'll be fine.
89 degrees.
For next week?
For Saturday.
Oh.
That's a high.
You're coming down this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh. We leave on Friday around noonish.
What time do you get here?
What, 7, 8?
Well, technically she gets into Florida like at 3.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are you flying or are you guys driving?
It just takes forever to get from Florida. Florida's a very long state.
It is.
We're more about the length than the girth.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're driving?
Yeah. We usually drive a lot. We don't mind it.
Oh, okay. Driving.
Doesn't bother us too much.
How many hours? Lots.
It's lots of hours.
Seven and a half to eight hours from Atlanta to here.
Yeah.
I think
nothing like
Serve did the trip with me one time for the Red Nose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said never again. He said he's never doing that trip again.
Why?
Well, if you think it's there and back, it's 16
hours. And then
there
and back, yeah.
That's one. Hold on. We'll ask him. Here he goes. Serve.
And we're also doing it in like 3 days, too, with no sleep.
Serve.
Yeah.
So let's go drive to Atlanta.
What?
That did sound pretty pitiful, didn't it?
See what I mean? He said he's never doing it again. Never again.
Wow. And that was just like right now. That's awesome.
And he was with me. He had me to keep him company the entire time, knowing the hell
I mean,
out of
it was
him.
I mean, the drive was terrible, but the companionship was fantastic.
Yeah. And that's often the way it is, unfortunately.
The, freeway blowjibbers was, you know.
Freeway blowjobs?
What?
Huh?
Nothing.
Freeway blowjibbers? Is that what you said? What is a blowjibber?
That is totally what he said. Did say blowjibbers, yes.
What is that?
That's a nonsensical term, clearly.
That John just enjoyed using.
Clearly he didn't mean anything by it.
Nothing,
shut up, John.
Nothing. Stop asking questions now.
To ask questions will just confuse the issue later.
Confusion was part of it, yes. Anyway, just kidding. It's a joke. This is jokes, folks.
Just joking.
These are the jokes. Just enjoy it. That's all you're getting.
That's what I said to him.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
So I think I'm going to see some of you on this podcast coming
up. Yes, you are. We already talked about it. Yep. I'll see you.
Oh, so I'm way behind. So it's
okay. You get to see me on Saturday watching my Gamecocks.
Go Cox, go.
Go Cox, go.
Wait, I thought you guys were... Wait a minute. Aren't you going to, like, Disney or something? What are you guys doing?
We're doing Busch Gardens Saturday. And then Saturday night, they close early because it's Halloween-ish. I don't know.
They have a Halloween Horror Nights in the evening, so.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Sorry, at 6 o'clock, you'll be exhausted anyway.
I'll be exhausted. And then, yes, I will be. And I got to be awake for my Gamecocks. And then Saturday morning, we leave to go to Orlando.
Sunday morning. We're doing Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, and then we're going to Epcot. And then Monday morning, we're going to go to Harry Potter World at Universal before we come back to Atlanta.
Which I still haven't been to.
It is literally going to be 3 days of lots of stuff. And the problem is now that I have found out again, because I got sick at Six Flags, and I was on a teacup kind of ride with my niece this weekend. I can't do anything that goes in circles or goes up and down.
I said that last week. You can't do
anything. I'm sorry. Did you say you can't do anything that goes up and down?
Shut up. Hush up. I did, but I didn't mean it that way. I meant like roller coasters.
Well, we're going to take it that way.
Of course you are. So, this should be lots of fun. And we're all going to be exhausted. I have no idea how we're going to drive. We might just let the kidlet drive. It's a real straight road. Just stay on 95 until you see something.
You know, so, if he heard that, he's going to go, oh, yes, I get to drive.
So, you know, most of the rides at Busch Gardens are
roller
coaster. Okay.
We're going to see how I do. We're going to see. No video of me dry heaving, please.
I don't take video of that stuff. It's just too exhausting.
Thank you. Because my sister did feel really guilty because she was on the first ride that went around in circles, and she's pregnant. She's like 5 months pregnant.
What?
And so she did that, and she was like, yeah, this is just not good. It was a little kiddie ride. It's a 4-year-old ride. It wasn't like a bad ride. And then she goes, okay, you got to be on the next one. I said, you don't understand. I'm going to get sick. And she's like, no, you're Aunt Lee. You got to go on the next one. So I went on the next one and literally went over and leaned against a tree and dry heaved for like 2 or 3 minutes. She was like, I really didn't mean, I didn't think you really meant it. I'm like, yeah, I do now. Being 42 sucks.
You must have had absolutely nothing in you, because if I dry heave for 2 minutes, any molecule.
Nothing. Yeah. No, nothing was coming out. No, it was just like kind of like feeling like you're going to. You wish you something would come out, because maybe then you would stop. Yeah, it was miserable. But it's okay. I still like going, and Kidlet loves it, and we will have a good time. Kidlet is very, very excited, especially because he gets out of school half a day. So.
What about... What about Hubby?
What about it?
Oh, Hubby's very excited. He loves this idea.
Does he like roller coasters?
Oh, yes. He rides them now.
He does do stuff that goes up and down then.
He does. He enjoys riding roller coasters, John.
What else does he enjoy riding?
Rock, so what's going on in all your bike rides now? Found anything new?
No.
Any more candy?
No
candy?
No.
No more puppies?
No puppies.
Hey, Serve.
Hey, John.
I smell something in candy. I can't quite figure out what that is.
Well, if it's a late 90s or early 2000s song, I think that would be Sex and Candy.
Sex and Candy.
Maybe you're just thinking of the song I Want Candy.
Nope.
There's that too.
Oh, no!
Guess he doesn't have the sound effect.
Wow.
So sorry.
My lantern is shot.
Your lantern is shot?
Yeah, told you probably need to
40.
Go see the whoever they are. That, yeah, them.
It's...
Hello?
Hello.
Which shows up on Oa references.
It's like a summoning.
Hey, where's Scott? We haven't seen Scott in a while.
I saw him at Dragon Con. That was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was plenty soon enough for serve.
All right.
Doesn't he have Mickey Faust soon? I mean, he's probably acting. He's probably working on that.
He's also working, I believe.
And he has also got a real job. He's a real boy.
Slaving away to the main.
That's it, man. Okay, so let me tell you guys how I pickpocketed my grandmother.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
All right, and I want to, first of all, Rox, I did think of you when I was doing it.
Thanks.
And I have to preface this by saying my grandmother is 88 and an insulin diabetic.
Did you steal her social security check?
Please. No, I did not steal her social security check. So she's 88. So we give her a lot of leeway about the diabetes. So we're out at dinner. She wanted a drink. She could have a drink. We had three types of pastas. We were at Maggiano's. She had three types of pastas. All of that stuff's bad for a diabetic. Of course, she wants dessert at the end. She got dessert.
She's 88.
88. As we said, at 88, I'm letting her do whatever the hell she wants. Except when I go get the car, because it was raining fucking cats and dogs on Sunday. I go to get the car, and I go to get her, and I leave her with my husband, and I come back, and I'm like, where's my grandmother? And he's pointing. She's over at the little hostess stand where they have the mints, double-fisting mints and stuffing them in her pocket. Now, understand, she has not been deprived for this meal. She had a drink. She had pasta. And she had dessert with a profiterole. Which was basically just the worst kind of, like, get a croissant, put whipped cream and ice cream in it, and then put chocolate sauce on it. Okay, so she had done this, putting double handfuls freaking in her pocket. So, as she's walking with her walker to the door, I, at one point, reach into her pocket.
Lee, hold the door for me, Lee.
I stole the first handful that I could get out then. I mugged her then, to which hubby is over there laughing so hard he's turning bright red and tears are coming out of his eyes. Then we all get in the car, and my aunt was there too, and she's in the car with my aunt, and we're following behind him. And I said, okay, so when we get there, everybody, when they go to hug her bye, when everybody goes to hug Gammy bye, mug her. Put your hand in her pocket. It's a jacket pocket. Put your hand in her pocket and steal some more mints. And my husband's like, okay. And Duncan's like, I can't believe you said to do that, Mom. I'm like, I'm not joking. She does not need the mints. She's had stuff. She does not need to eat these mints all night and wake up with a blood sugar of 200 in the morning.
And if you happen to run across any cash in those pockets or pocketbook, you know, hey.
All the cash is gone. So my husband and my child could not do it. I looked at both of them like, what? And they were like, we couldn't. I did it. I got two more handfuls while I was giving her a hug goodbye. So she only has one handful left, and she's probably figured it out now. But I did, Rox. I got in the car.
That bitch.
And
I never liked that Lee.
I never liked my oldest grandchild. I got in the car, and I looked at my hub and my kid, and I said, Rox would be so ashamed of you two for not picking her pocket like I told you to. They were both like, yeah, so I did. I picked her pocket, and I do not feel guilty. I saved her blood sugar for one morning.
But she's 88. How long do you want her to live? Just out of curiosity.
Damn, Rox.
It's Halloween month. I can ask these questions without any recourse.
Not Rox.
Yeah, like Halloween month has anything to do with that.
Yeah, like that's how. Hey,
well, if, you know, serve. As far as Rox is concerned, it's Halloween month every month.
That's right.
Yep. In her basement.
Well, if you reach a certain age, I think you should be allowed.
Well, and that is why my sister and I turn a blind eye to many things. Even when she sneaks cigarettes, turn a blind eye to it.
Here's the thing.
Whoa, hang on. Rox, whoa. Lee, she eats cigarettes?
Sneaks.
Sorry.
All right, Lee, you have to understand, somebody that likes bottom feeder candy, the candy at restaurants I know. She's probably giving them out. She's probably loading up for Halloween. She's probably on a fixed income. And she's probably going to give this out at Halloween.
No. She's loading up because she knows my aunt will not have stuff that she can eat, like the sugary stuff she likes.
But it's just candy. I don't even eat candy from some restaurant because all it is those mints.
These are chocolate mints that have the candy stuff on the outside. I understand, but Rock, she did not need the mints, man. I'm not joking. A drink, all the pasta she could eat, and ice cream.
Well, yeah, but you know what? At her age, she's probably going, I'm going to steal some freaking candy because I'm 88 years old.
That's it. She got through it.
And that's always a good reason.
Didn't you see the Seinfeld episode where they were talking about old people stealing batteries and just becoming – the older you get, the more likelihood that you become a shoplifter just because you can.
Just because you can.
That's what your gran is.
My grandmother is doing now. She's like,
why don't you just?
Well, it was really funny. I saw the hostess when she was doing this, and I'm like, she's 88, and the lady, and I said, but she's also an insulin diabetic. She shouldn't be doing that. And the lady said, what are you gonna do? And I was like, bigger pocket. So yeah, but I did think of you, Rox, while doing it. I was like, Rox would be proud of me for doing this.
I don't know.
Carousel.
Yeah, carousel. No, I mean, she didn't notice you doing it. How was the drop? How did you perform the drop?
She had a jacket on that had pockets.
For those people that know, a drop is, or a dip is how you perform pickpocketing, so you know. So
she basically had just put them in her jacket pocket. She's not a bright thief.
Oh, whoa.
Okay?
So
that was easy to lean over and give her big hugs and tell her I loved her and then steal the candy back.
Tonight on the Klepto Network.
I know. All right, Lee, next time, just remember where she puts her social security check.
No.
Tonight on The Real Hustle.
I could have stolen her lipstick. I could have. Her lipstick was also in that pocket, but I didn't do that. All
right. Now, I'd just like to point out, dear listeners, if you run into Lee at Dragon Con, just make sure that you know where your purse and wallet are at all times.
Yeah.
And candy.
I'm not gonna do it unless you
get candy. Holy crap. Well, I don't know. We gotta give Lee that there's enough candy on the tables in her room. There's no problem.
The power
probably,
candy.
It's probably candy she doesn't like.
Rock, you try and put that candy in your pocket and walk out of the room after the panel.
Yeah.
Because I've done that, and then I get outside, and suddenly I'm like, hey, where'd the candy go? Son of a bitch.
Damn her.
She got it back. Damn it.
Tuffley, what were you saying?
I was saying, but there's still not enough tab.
No. And contraband soda. All I want is one Pepsi for next year, Lee. Just one Pepsi.
I had Pepsis there.
I kept asking everybody. I'm like, you got a Pepsi? They're like, no, this is...
Everybody
this
drank
is, yeah.
All right, I'll get you a Pepsi next year.
Thank you. I'll
get you contraband soda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I will get contraband soda. I have no issues with contraband soda.
Well, along those lines, there's this. Ugh. Oh, thank God. I thought that conversation was never going to end, so I could open my beer.
Oh, wait, that's neither contraband nor soda.
I was desperate, Tuffley.
Soda-like.
It's a barley pop.
Yeah.
I have... Oh, so, Widge, what's yours tonight?
Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Hey!
Very nice. I'm having a shock top pumpkin wheat.
I've been very happy with just about everything Shock Top has put out.
It is very tasty. I just don't taste a lot of pumpkin.
The Shock Top is nice. I do
like
that.
But here's the thing. Sometimes you don't want a lot of pumpkin in the pumpkin ale because there's this one, I can't remember. It's one of the one brands that like World Market has, and it's terrible. It's like, I don't know, rotten pumpkin or something.
Ooh, no, that would be
without the cake.
Why would you buy a beer called Rotten Pumpkin?
It doesn't, but it smells and it tastes that way.
Just
Rox,
you know.
did you buy it from a bald man wearing black?
No. I saw him in the other aisle. But I didn't buy it from him. Yeah.
So what do people in West Virginia do on Halloween?
Well,
pumpkin.
Oh my lord. You bad, bad man.
So, Serv, how does the drop work on that?
Mostly pants.
Jesus. And I really hope we have no West Virginia listeners. Pictures.
Oh, we have.
We had a huge West Virginia following. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Probably before the end of the podcast.
So. Well, would that make West Virginia the only state we've never offended on this show now?
You can.
Well, we were, but it's gone. Yeah.
Well, you know, the treaty expired.
Darn.
Damn. Yeah. Again?
What about the treaties? Yeah. What about grants?
And also, winter's coming.
I've heard that.
But oh, my God.
My wife goes, winter is never coming.
Somebody actually said that on
Not in your area.
It was sort of funny.
What?
And it was
that Rox?
Somebody actually said winter's coming on Diane Rehm. It was in reference to something else, but they used the reference to
they were talking about
Game
beheadings.
So, no, I think it had to do about the whales or something, but you know, winter's coming.
Was there a whale named Winter?
I wish. Oh. That'd be interesting.
So, well, we all know the whales control the dragons anyway, Wedge.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that Star Trek movie.
That was a great movie.
That was
the best one.
That was, what was that? Dragon Slayer 4? Yeah, I think that's right.
Something like that.
So! we gotta wait for Rob to talk Doctor Who, but!
Well, can we talk, well, Rox?
Well, we can talk Warehouse 13.
Cause we are pissed. Okay,
okay,
I'm pissed,
Rox. Pissed? Why are you pissed?
Alright, why are you pissed?
I am pissed because at Dragon Con, all right, so Warehouse 13 last season killed a character. He's come back now, but it was the white guy. They killed a white guy.
How dare they?
No, no. We were like, yes, because there were black guys.
Wow.
And,
so basically,
and
you're saying that
they killed a white Buddhist.
They killed a white Buddhist.
So you're saying that, that basically T-Dog is going to be the last man standing on Walking Dead, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
So we were very upset. We were like, yes, they didn't take the easy out. They didn't. And we said this to the actors. We said it, Rox, to the writer, that we were thrilled they didn't kill the black woman. And what the hell did they do this season right before it?
Killed Lena.
They killed
she
Lena.
Has a name. She has a name. Her name is Lena. Don't
Her
just say
Lena
they killed the black woman.
They killed Lena, and we were very upset.
Well, in theory, they also killed Mrs. Frederick.
You know, the warehouse died, so they didn't kill Mrs. Frederick. If the warehouse dies, Mrs. Frederick dies.
Kind of.
That's different than somebody being shot in cold blood.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get out of this. So anyway, yes, Lena.
Well, it wasn't really cold blood. We are talking about Comcast here.
You know, the unfortunate thing about the character Lena is she's always played the red shirt role.
Yes, we were all waiting. We were all like, oh.
Because, you know, we were hoping that she would have become, you know, sort of, well, not really a Mrs. Frederick type because that's Claudia.
But we were so happy they didn't kill her. I mean, it was so good. But I do think the episode has been great. And Brett Spiner is, as always.
Oh, he was really good. Now, the thing is there's, you know, I'm still not fully convinced that he's not a bad guy. I mean, he's
not.
Because there's still this thing about the astrolabe.
The astrolabe. And
actor turns back. Well, we'll see him next year.
Yes.
So.
And there's also still the thing about he's like, yes, you do owe me and you're going to give me that back. And you're just like, okay.
Right.
But he does kind of creepy evil. I keep forgetting how good he can be at kind of, he can be very odd because for some unknown reason I watched Independence Day this weekend and he does that kind of odd eccentric well. And then he does creepy, slightly evil pretty well too.
Yeah. I would say he was a good asset this year for that.
I did cry when Claudia was all upset because Artie didn't love her anymore. And he told her that. And she
it's like one of those sort of silly ploys, though. I wasn't really happy with that.
Well, it was a silly ploy, and you would have thought they could have handled it.
I never loved you. You guys are all a pain in the ass. Blah, 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 blah. I tell you people that all the time. You guys still keep coming back.
Shut up.
You know?
The thing is that I think they could have handled that better, and that was a bit of a plot hole, but I just loved it. I still loved it that Mrs. Fredericks can move wherever she wants to, and you don't have to watch her, and she's still there, and it was pretty awesome. Because yeah, Jinx that on the next to last episode, which was kind of cool. So,
yeah.
But it was very cool. And I still, again, the writing on that show, even when it's not great, better than 90% of the other stuff out there.
Okay, so. Here's my question to you. Are you thrilled with the 20 episodes that they did? Did they do 20? Was there 20?
There will be 20. They only did 10 right now or so.
Oh, okay. So they're coming back what?
January, February. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, my understanding is they're not doing a Christmas special this year, but I hope that changes.
You know what? I can see them not doing it because of the way they have everything hanging.
Yeah, it would be kind of tough this year.
So that would be, I mean, I even thought last year's was sort of like a,
it was kind of,
that was sort of a throwaway.
Yeah. But we're still liking Warehouse 13 and we think everybody should watch it. And oh, by the way, that was spoilers. We really talked a lot about spoilers.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay, is anybody watching Revolution? Should I spend any time on it?
I am! Wow.
Johnny, okay.
I am, but I'm behind.
How far behind are you, sir?
2 episodes.
How many episodes have there been?
3.
Ah, I see.
John, what's our yelling about?
Is this by choice?
Like, oh my god, I'm not going to watch it again? Or
I haven't watched episode 3 yet. So,
did you like episode 1?
Yes.
Did you like episode 2?
Yes.
So you're yelling because Lee, get your ass on the ball and watch it more.
Oh, you haven't been watching it?
No, not yet.
You haven't watched any of it.
But other people are I want to hear what other people are thinking first.
Did you watch the season opener of Fringe?
No. You know I don't watch Fringe.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, you did. You've yelled at me before about it. We've had this argument.
It was awesome.
I'm sure it was. But this is, yes. And so how did they get them there? How did they finally figure that out?
They figure what out?
Well, they're 30 years in the future.
Yeah, they're 30 years in the future. Done.
And how did they explain? That's it? That's it? Done?
Yeah.
Put you in a stasis pod and you're 30 years in the future. Enjoy.
spoiler. But
oh my
actually,
God.
No, they explain this.
You
hold on.
Skip all the crappy years.
Skip. It doesn't matter. Dude, hold on. They explain this.
Time out. John, go.
They explained it last year. They're in Amber.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, the waves of grain?
Yes.
Oh.
They were on the mountainside to the Shining Sea, to the prairie. I can't remember now. I can't remember the name of this, how the song goes. Anyway, no, they were in Amber. That's how that's how the three of them get back there and meet their 20-year-old daughter.
Oh my God. And so you're liking it. You're very happy about Fringe?
I've been very happy with Fringe for some time.
I know you. So, do you think you'll like the shift from Cases of the Week to epic monster truck ending?
Well, it's been shifted from Monster of the Week for like
2 years, right?
Three seasons now, probably four.
Well, not really.
Ever since Nimoy came on.
But they've still kind of held toward the Case of the Week sort of thing.
Sometimes they have, but it's always had an overarching story that's, you know, that might have been the A story, but the B story was always, you know, the underlying.
Well, the Archie stuff's always been in the background, but I thought that the cases format seemed to work. I felt a bit better with it.
No,
I could handle the Arc stuff better with the case. to flip back to, if that makes any sense.
Well, I guess I hear what you're saying, and the fact that, like, the final season, opened up with basically no mystery to solve. They are just finishing the story.
So I do kind of miss the cases a bit. The whole jumping forward to the future thing. So.
Well.
And it's the same thing. I was kind of talking about this with Kim about Person of Interest, which is like, I want to like that show, but it's like they're throwing too much shit on top of everything.
Well, and that was actually what I was worried about with Revolution, is because that's why I want to hear from other people first, because I'm like, I want to know how much shit they're going to throw at me, and how closely do I have to watch too? Because I'm just
Revolution. Well, you don't have to watch too closely. Revolution is strictly a big story. So
okay, cool. And I'm also wondering about 666 Park Avenue, only because it has Terry O'Quinn, who I've always loved in everything he's ever been in, because he is awesome.
Even Hawaii 5-0.
Yes, he's awesome. Terry O'Quinn is awesome.
Wait,
he can be in anything.
You watched Hawaii 5-0 when he was on it? Really?
I might have quickly glanced at it.
Okay.
I will say this.
Hey, did it last longer than Eastwick?
It's still on.
Well, it's still on right now. It's only had like one episode so far.
Well, Tuffley, I will say this. I did watch like the first episode of Hawaii 5-0, the new one, simply because... Yeah. Cosette is like a huge Hawaii 5-0 classic junkie. I don't know, if I had time to watch something that was a guilty pleasure show, I might do that.
Yeah,
it was not bad. I mean, it was not high art, but it wasn't supposed to be.
It's the same. It's a police procedural. It's not supposed to be high art, and it's supposed to be pretty, because you know Hawaii's pretty.
Yeah, and I mean, come on, the chairman from Iron Chef is the bad guy. So I mean, that's automatically awesome.
I mean, you know, you got some really fun people in it, and so
go ahead.
No. Well, I was also saying that I've also, while I haven't watched the last one of Alphas, I have been really impressed with some of the they've gotten some really good people on the show recently. I mean, they got John Piper Ferguson, who's a great actor, who I've talked about before because I get him confused with somebody else. And also they've had some of the Battlestar Galactica people guest star and some others. And they've really pulled in some really good people. So you're like, yay! So I'm pretty proud of that, too. I'm hoping they'll still stay on. So, John, I'm sorry.
I do have a question. Did anybody like me watch Elementary?
We watched the first episode.
Well, there's only one episode so far.
Yeah.
Right? I think the other ones are on tonight.
So, what's the verdict?
It's Sherlock Light.
I would
Sherlock dumbed down for the Americans.
Here's okay.
Go ahead, Tuffley.
Go, Tuffley.
Okay, so I think we can all sort of guess what Kim's opinion of this show is. Do I really have to say what Kim's verdict on the show is?
I actually think I heard the ranting from my house.
Okay, good. And I would back that up with you don't even have to have the Sherlock name attached to it to know it's a shitty procedural. It just is. And it doesn't feel the two characters, Johnny Lemuro and Lucy Liu, really don't have any chemistry at all.
I'm sorry. I have never seen Lucy Liu have chemistry with anyone.
She was really good in Southland, which is probably why people watch Southland. She was really good in Southland. I wish she had stayed on Southland, but unfortunately she had to go and do this. So
she has the acting chops of a Pinewood board.
Yeah, pretty much.
Usually for what you ask her to do, though, it's not.
Yeah, chopping off heads and killing people. I mean, she's actually pretty good at that.
Is Futurama as a head? I think that's
when you need just a, you know, insert Asian woman here. Yeah, she works fine.
She works great. Okay, good to know.
But in this,
wow, was that a euphemism, John?
Yes.
But for Elementary,
insert Asian woman here.
And there's our pervert right there that we love.
But Elementary.
Don't say that about Lucy Liu.
I didn't know I went anywhere.
Elementary just doesn't seem like even a good CBS procedural. And that's not a shot against CBS procedurals, because there are some bad ones that have lived.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, but look how many years and Murder, She Wrote and Diagnosis Murder with Dick Van Dyke. They were CBS.
I am probably one of the only on this that has not seen Sherlock, the BBC Sherlock.
Yeah.
So, have you seen it, Serv?
Yeah. Okay. It's so good.
I need to see it. I just haven't.
Lee. Even Serv's watched it.
I know.
Come on.
Exactly.
I don't do those things by legally acquiring things. If it's not on TV,
it'll be on.
Do you have Netflix?
I don't have Netflix. We don't have Netflix.
Because both seasons are for Netflix, a month. So.
I probably need to, we're talking about
masterpiece.
So,
I understand it's going to be on PBS, but one of the things I read about Sherlock in reading some of these reviews, which is what we sometimes do, is that, as somebody said, is I don't know why anybody did this. First of all, you've got Sherlock, you've got the movies. And if you really wanted to see, Holmes and Watson, just watch House. That was much better than any of
Lee, I can tell you why they did it. Nobody can make any money off of BBC Sherlock because it's basically three TV movies and that's their season. They need 22 episodes or whatever it is. And then, with the eventual holy grail of 100 for syndication.
Tell you right now, then you should all be watching Luther on BBC because that shit is awesome.
Okay. So I'm going to concur with Tuffley. It is a lame procedural, and in fact it's almost like it's it's almost a serious version of Psych. It's like, oh, he's hyper.
Ooh.
And Psych is awesome, by the way. I love Psych.
I like it. It's cute.
When I watch it, it's cute. Yeah.
When viewed in the right light, but you know what, trying to take it seriously, Psych is really good.
But you know what, you know why it's good? The two main characters have chemistry
Yes, they do.
And they also play tongue-in-cheek, and they know what they're doing.
Also, just in terms of the other, at least the other drama it follows that night, I mean, it's so pedestrian compared to Person of Interest, even with it tacking on so much shit than they need to. Really.
Stop it now.
Well, just to talk about Person of Interest for a minute, what bothers me about Person of Interest, I really enjoyed, and it's the same thing with Fringe. I really like having, you can have the arc-y stuff, but then you have like a case of the week. The problem with Person of Interest is not only is there a case of the week, there is now arc A and arc B.
Oh my, that's too many arcs.
You know, so. That bothers me, and I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know how long they intend to keep up with. Oh, we're gonna run two arcs at the same time, but
because Tuffley, that would be arc two, and that was on television in the '70s.
My gosh, yeah.
Not to be confused with Earth 2, which also sucked.
as did Terra Nova.
As did Terra Nova, which was almost the same show.
All you were hoping for in Terra Nova was that the teenager gets eaten by a damn dinosaur. That's pretty damn sad.
I was kind of hoping Terra Nova would end the same way the original Blake 7 ended.
They all get eaten by dinosaurs? No, I have no idea.
Exactly. Yeah. They all get eaten by dinosaurs.
I read that heavy metal story.
That's not how Blake 7 ended, but close enough.
That would be close. Yeah, that would work. Remember, we're getting a new Blake 7 very soon, Tuffles.
We are, and that frightens me.
No.
Because technically we've already gotten a rebooted Blake 7. It was called Firefly.
Can we have a Blake 7 and have it be Blake Edwards? Because that would be cool.
Only if Julie Andrews is in it.
That's it. That would be cool.
And we shared the same line. Wow.
That's a little scary. Okay, so what other new TV is anybody watching?
Oh, the regular show. They actually have a half-hour episode. It's a cartoon on the Cartoon Network. John, you
wait.
You
they still
that,
show
right?
cartoons on the Cartoon Network?
Yes, they do.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And it's the regular show. It's about a raccoon named Rigby and a blue jay named Mordecai, and they're slackers that work in a park. And they actually had a half hour episode last night. I think it was Exit 63, where this evil guy takes over the park and he plans to put a roadway through it. So there was like a fight between, you know, the good guys and all the people that they have, you know, destroyed over the last couple seasons. So it was kind of cool.
So
half hour episode.
So all of the new Cartoon Network shows are not 30 minutes long.
No.
Most of them, no.
No, it's like most of the time for
So like they've all taken the Adult Swim approach?
Well, now like Adventure Time will run, they're closed. They'll actually run
in a 30
two episodes for, in a half an hour.
Yeah.
For some reason regular show really doesn't. They run 18 minutes. And I think the show is probably like 15 minutes at the most. But yeah, they are taking the Adult Swim approach to that. So
Adventure Time is awesome.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Still watch Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Hey, my 4-year-old niece will watch Adventure Time over SpongeBob. I am so happy. I can't stand it.
You know, I
you can actually watch it.
Yeah.
I really don't get that show. I hate to admit it, but I really don't.
What?
Oh, it's totally Adventure. You have to turn your brain off. Oh, you have to turn
your
brain
off. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Every time I click past it, it just looks so dumb.
But they actually had an episode where they were making fun of Magic the Gathering.
Oh yeah, I know the whole thing is rip on like tabletop games and video games and all that, but
even just pop culture in general.
Yeah.
It's one of those things they cleverly hide, you know, it's the colors will draw little kids in. It's almost watching the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Yeah.
40 years later, you know.
Or some of the Bugs Bunny that they used to.
Possibly they've done drugs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the Sid and Marty Krofft levels.
No. Whereas, like, regular show.
No, I haven't seen him bursting into song yet.
Like, that, regular
when
show.
We get this damn musical episode.
Yes. No, I hope we don't get those. No. I don't know. They actually did sort of a music episode. They had to break through this door, so they actually had to pool their resources together and learn music and stuff.
Whereas regular show is like
a cartoon version of Slacker, the movie. Except they do really cool things like go into different time dimensions and stuff.
See, regular show, I have watched a couple of regular shows. And I thought that was funny.
I like them. You know, if it's raining outside, ooh, pop in a, you know, regular show. I like it.
I'm just hoping Finding Bigfoot comes back. I haven't heard.
What one's that?
That's the Finding Bigfoot show. They look for Sasquatch.
Yeah,
well, I know, but
pretty much
your channel is it on?
It's on Animal Planet. Oh. Animal Planet. And Discovery.
Okay. So they've run out of actual animals to spotlight, and now they have to go hunt for fake ones.
Pretty much.
Wow. Now, what I would like to see a show called Finding Bigfoot, where the show doesn't come back and Lee goes out and searches for it.
Oh, it's my guilty pleasure.
Tries.
That one in the show where he yells at the ghosts. I'm trying to think
when Gold Rush comes on.
Who yells at what?
What? Who's yelling?
Oh my god. Wait a minute. Gold Rush. Now they're in the jungle for what the hell now, Rox? Come on.
They did one episode. They thought, ooh, we could go. Now here's the thing. This is where they really don't understand where the hell they're going. You're going into South America. Land of bandits and other pickpockets and thieves. Yeah. They're going through these rivers and they're like, oh, but there's anacondas, there's piranha. And during this episode, I'm typing in parasites. It's like, hello, you're going to
Are you talking about the creatures that exist around, or are you talking about the show itself?
Well, both. Because I think the producer is a parasite myself. So they thought, ooh, during our summertime, we can go down to South America and pan for gold, which is a lot harder because you're dealing with like your mud humidity. Your clothes will rot off of your body within 3 weeks. You know, forget, you know, you're going to get like swamp foot because your feet never dry out. So, you know, here's this big, big guy that really should be losing weight just being down there. You know, I can see him like eating something and getting, you know, a tapeworm or something.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was like, no, that's not going to work. But it was so funny. The voiceover is like, oh, and they're going through the, you know, the water with the anacondas and, you know, this and that. And it's like, what about the parasites? I don't see you guys saying anything about drinking water, drinking the food and stuff like that. Oh, no.
Oh, my.
Now, Rox, I will say there are some nights where you simply type parasites, 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 because that is just your idea of a good time.
This is true.
Yeah.
Have you seen her Twitter?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I've mentioned poison before. So.
The parasites hashtag is a great game literally every other night.
Hashtag parasites, parasites, parasites.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So, I guess that one's on Discovery. So, and I think the other gold one is that Bering Sea gold. Now, I don't like those people because, man, they would like knife you. They're not nice. I mean, they're the gold rush. It's a bunch of knuckleheads. They don't know what they're doing and they're learning. So that's kind of funny.
So Rox, yes. They have a competing gold show now.
Yeah, they have many of them.
Oh my god, so many. Yeah. Then there's Bering Gold is where these guys go out on dredgers and they're going into the Arctic Ocean diving for gold.
And dive into the Arctic Ocean with a big damn tube and then suck up the gold.
Yeah. These guys, like, they will knife you if you look at them wrong or if you decide to pilfer their candy.
Oh, Lee, keep Lee away from them because
Lee
will get knifed.
Here's the important question. Do they have beards?
They're all, they're all variations.
Okay. You can't be some sort of scumbag Discovery reality show unless you have beards.
Yes.
Now, are you talking about facial hair or the gay man's cover?
Well, I don't know. There is that one chick on the show.
I wasn't going to ask about them personally, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, I just want clarification just so that I know what to look for on the show.
Well, on Gold Rush,
that's not Eastbound and Down.
Watch for the latest. On those shows, it's like
that's the remix.
No, it really isn't.
It's like the crime of the week or the monster of the week. On Gold Rush, it's what will break this week. So, you know, all shows follow the same kind of structure.
Now, I think what you need is, if they are indeed diving and using a tube to suck up gold, they should have just called it Gold Suckers. I think that would have been... That would have at least gotten you a few more asses and seats.
I don't know.
Gold digger.
Maybe they should do some sort of gold all-stars series where, you know, one group of gold explorers start at the top of the earth and then another group of gold explorers start at the bottom of the earth. And then you're going to have a journey to the center of the earth thing.
Toughly, I've got it. You're a genius. Here's what we do. We have the gold all-stars, right?
Yeah.
And one team is all the people from the various gold shows, like the all-star team of that. And the other team are veterans of solid gold.
Ah.
And then they fight it out.
It's like the Laugh Olympics.
Yeah.
Then they look for the mysterious cities of gold.
Ooh, yeah.
But you know who always wins these gold shows? The Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
Nice.
They always end up with the gold.
Well, you know what?
They don't pay you jack shit for it.
No, they do not.
Sir, I will say this, that it's been my experience that when I fight authority, authority always wins. So. Like, oh, they're solid gold. Yes.
We're going to the Pawn Stars place when we go to Vegas.
Are you really? Why? Why are you going to do that? Some
interesting merchandise to buy at any given
time. I think it'll be interesting to go. I mean, I don't really. I'm just going to watch other people. But,
you know,
there are many people who in the group that wish to go.
The pawn show shop that you should go to is that one where fights break out.
Okay.
What is that?
The red one? The redneck pawn shop?
No, it's not the redneck. One on Spike. Yeah. Oh my God. Go to that one.
They kick people out
all the time. This guy brought in a Cabbage Patch doll and he wanted $100 for it and he was pissed that they weren't going to buy it from him. And it's like, it's a doll. It's not worth anything. Get the hell out of our shop. Oh my God. It's a great shop.
You'd bring a doll to like a pawn shop. You wouldn't take it to like a place that actually dealt in collectibles.
No, because these are
no, because that shows on another channel.
It's on this is on Spike, so they're going for the grits.
The toy show's on the Travel Channel, Wedge.
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, Rox, I think what we need to do is we need to basically just have you hit all of these various shops with like, we just find some crazy fucking, well, you know, I'm sure if you look to your left right now, there'll be something there. But I mean, to find some crazy thing and have you go and like flogging it to various and start. In fact, Rox, I think I did not know this existed, this spinoff, but it seems to me that you would prefer something like Cajun Pawn Stars. Just because that's a huge spin, is they're Cajun.
Yeah.
I love that. I think
I got it. She can take an issue of Derelict.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I want $20 for this. One guy wanted, I don't know, he probably wanted heroin money, but he brought in a lawnmower that had a hairdryer attached to it. So he can get money. He wanted like $150 for this piece of trash. And this guy was higher than a kite.
Wait a minute. Back up a second. So he was powering a hairdryer with a lawnmower?
He didn't even know why it was there. This guy was so high. It was just attached. And they're like,
just steal the closest thing you can.
Well, I mean, you do obtain a certain level of ingenuity when high, but I don't think that quite works.
I think it's a combo thing. So you can
mow the grass and get my hair all shiny clean at the
people can't afford blowers. You can just use it as a blower.
That's right.
The leaf blower and a lawnmower.
At the same time.
See, at least you would hook up something like, I mean, I can understand a Flobee. I mean, that would make more sense to me than a hair dryer.
Honey, watch out for the blades.
You know what it was? It was a Kickstarter prototype.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
it was
but
a
you
failed
know,
Kickstarter prototype.
I know, but he wanted that heroin money. I'm sorry, he really did want that.
Is that what he was selling him?
I think so. This guy was high. I mean, why else would you bring in a lawnmower that's broken that has a hairdryer attached to it? Why else would you do that? You take it to an art gallery and say, "This is art.
It's folk art."
Rox, I think we're onto something here. I think we need to pitch a show in which you basically advise people on which show they should go flog their stuff.
I was about to say, isn't the art show on Bravo?
Oh my God, that's a horrible show. So if you need help in trying to find out where to send your pawnable items, please call Help Me Rocks at 404-382-0769. I can help you find out which show to direct you for selling your various unsundry type crap.
So you can get your heroin money. Yes. Now it's the Booker Prize. Is it the Booker Prize in the UK that's so ridiculous, or am I thinking
yes.
of
something else? Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Yes.
See, now I would actually be fascinated to see a reality for those listeners who don't know, the Booker Prize is the art prize in the UK that is essentially shit. I mean, it's basically, it's like winning, best new group at like the Grammys, right? It's just, it shows that you're doomed, basically. But no, I mean, my favorite was the year that somebody entered a messed up bed. By that, a bed that had been slept in, and that I think Warner placed one, and I think it was like two guys from Japan showed up and like jumped up and down on it. Now, this was not part of the installation. That was there. Oh, well, that's just us doing our art. I was like, you guys are fucking heroes.
Has Laurie Anderson won this award?
No, I will say this. Laurie Anderson can get away with a lot more than, you know, here's an empty room with a light. I mean, that's that sort of thing. An empty room with a light bulb like hanging down in the middle of it. Damien Hirst. I mean, the one thing I will say about Damien Hirst to me is like the art version of David Lynch. I'll pretty much let him get away with whatever he wants. And the reason is that Damien Hirst, for those who don't know, listeners at home, this is the guy who put the shark in the formaldehyde, basically. Yeah. But the reason
they've had to redo that.
Oh, yeah.
Times because it just decomposes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think that's great too. But it's never the same piece of art twice.
Right.
I love the fact that his defense was, well, people are always like, well, I could have done that. And he says, but you didn't, did you?
Right.
I fucking love that. So the Booker Prize. So but a reality TV show about people entering that. Or even better, basically just setting somebody, like Faking It. You know that show Faking It that I think they showed over here. That was the one where you would start, they would get like, this guy is a plumber and we're going to teach him to be a race car driver in just 6 weeks. And he's going to do something where he has to fool three actual race car drivers into thinking that he's a real race car driver or something like that. But I think, Rox, you should be in charge of getting somebody who's an actual sane human being and turning them into an avant-garde artist, and the goal is to win the Booker Prize.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
All right.
Okay, who among you would not watch that show? That would be gold, is what that
All
would
right.
be.
All right. That would probably be gold. That is very true. That is very true.
Solid.
Awesome.
Solid. As a rock.
So,
you went Ashford and Simpson on that. I give points to Lee.
Yeah. Bonus points to Lee.
Thank you.
Yay. So Rox, you're, caught up on Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Is it just.
What's wrong, sir?
I'm still not caught up and I can't.
I couldn't figure out if you weren't caught up, but that was Boardwalk Empire.
I watched Hunger Games over the weekend.
Oh, first time? God.
Yeah.
I think the better question
is... What'd
you think? It was cute. You know, kids killing other kids. It's good stuff.
Cute. You know, of all the words you could have come out with, that was not the one I was thinking.
What do you call kids, Serv?
Oh.
Younger than me?
So this this is how loud I am, is that Cosette just got on IM and said, it's the Turner Prize, not the Booker Prize. She's two floors up. Sorry, honey.
Sorry. Hi, Cosette.
Sorry,
you
whoever.
Colorized it anyway.
Sorry, whoever Booker Prize is. I didn't mean to call you shit. It's the Turner Prize. So I can't wait to hear this. Yes, sir, please explain. I was about to go here anyway. Please explain to John how Hunger Games was cute.
Costumes? No, I mean, it was
like the kids showed up and put on a play.
Well, it's like like Creature One Contact with blades.
I mean, at this point, everybody's pretty much heard, you know, what the story is and, you know, how many stories it kind of, I don't know, rips off is a hard word. But, you know, I guess if the shoe fits.
It's the teenage death race. It's great.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's another one. What was the other one that everybody?
Well, Battle Royale, but really that all goes back to the Most Dangerous Game. So.
Well, yeah, you know, but Death Race was a lot more fun and it had cars in it.
Yeah. I love that. And in certain places in the United States, they'll actually show that on Christmas Day.
Oh my God. One of the greatest pieces of short fiction in history. I'm fucking crying. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that. That like went right through the armor. Boom.
You're welcome.
Shit. Wow. I'm sorry. Please continue. That's,
and it had Stallone. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. Oh my God. That's amazing. I think we should, you know what? Toughly, I think you've got a point there. You know what? You've convinced me. I think we need to do a version of the lottery with cars and Stallone. I think Shirley Jackson's The Lottery is missing.
That's fucking Expendables 3, man. They're already on it.
Oh yeah, awesome. Yeah, the stoning is going to take place with a trebuchet.
God.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers.
Jason Statham is the Crusader.
Oh God. Oh, I'm injured now. Anyway, so yes, so serve. It was cute.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we've all, you know, everybody's heard what the story is, and you know, there's a, I don't know. It was cute. It was a cute story. I was entertained, but I'm not like, I'm not dying to read the books, and I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm clamoring for the next film. So it was cute. It was fine.
So once a generation, somebody goes and kills a bunch of kids, and one of them is a Slayer or something like that.
What? I mean, hey.
All of you suck.
What you're saying is that Donald Sutherland is in charge of the Hellmouth.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know,
it's
I didn't mean in real life, Rox.
It's him and Paul Rubens. Damn, it was Donald Sutherland in that one too. Damn, wow. Points.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait. Dig this. If Paul Rubens had been the Woody Harrelson character, how awesome would that have been? You know you want that. You know you do.
Yeah. Oh, just wait till they do the third book.
Oh my God. So John.
Yes.
How you feeling?
I don't know who Serv is at all.
You know, the next time you guys are on a long drive, it's going to be awkward.
Gonna be awkward.
So, Death Race.
Yeah. I think this next one, they're going to Mount St. Helens. call back. All right, so we should not
talk. Well, you can go ahead and talk Boardwalk Empire, because I'm gonna jump off because I'm really tired and I have to be at work at like 7. So
oh, I see. Okay, well, all right.
So introductions, da 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 da. It's Serve. Okay, good seeing you. Everybody have a good time.
You're coming over Friday, right? Saturday, right?
Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to have the game on, right?
No. We're not having the game on.
We'll negotiate.
Yeah, there'll be games
again.
There'll be no game on. We're not going to turn the game on.
You're not. Lee's going to kill
the Hunger
you.
Games? It's
no,
so
we're... Hold on.
I'm back, and you're a dead man. You already said you would turn
no,
the
there's
game
not going to be any game on.
Yes, there is.
No game.
You're dead to me.
Whoa. Lee, he's talking about snooker. He's going to have snooker on.
Ooh, hey, I'd watch that.
He's going to have Gamecocks versus UGA on. And I have no idea where I've been for like 3 minutes, but my internet decided it didn't like anything anymore.
You're the future of Fringe.
Mm, awesome.
Season 5.
And look, you made Scott so mad he went away.
Lee, now I will say, have you been drinking?
I've had a beer.
See, well, that's normal for you to drink and then lose 3 minutes.
No, it's not. No.
Wouldn't she lose more time than just 3 minutes?
Well, it's only because of the single beer.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, so Serve is gone. Boardwalk Empire.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, before you guys talk about Boardwalk Empire, do you know they've done a Sesame Street sketch of
yes,
of
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sesame Street parody of Boardwalk Empire.
It's very silly.
Yes. Well, they did that with Mad Men, what, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, they did that with Mad Men 2 years ago, and every once in a while they hit it correctly.
Guy Smiley is
more than they know.
Yes.
Well, I'll just say that I'm looking forward to the Sesame Street Walking Dead parody. I think that's going to be great.
Oh, poor Gordon.
No, Widge, that's when they revisit the Mr. Hooper episode.
Beat me to it.
Gordon. That's what happened. The graph. They're in for it. You killed me.
It's Mr. Hooper and Mr. Snuffleupagus, and it's not going to be a good day in the neighborhood.
No.
What's even worse is those are the zombies that Michonne has with her.
Uh-huh.
Oh, can you imagine dead Mr. Hooper going up to Big Bird going, Bird!
God.
Bird!
There you go. If zombie Fred Rogers is within the sound of my voice, zombie Mr. Hooper next year. I'm just saying. You'd make Rox very happy again.
No, not really. I'm not really a Mr. Hooper fan. I was okay.
Okay, all right. But zombie Snuffleupagus, that would be intense.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
She appreciated Mr. Hooper's contributions to the street, but she wasn't really into it.
You know, he was kind of cranky. He wasn't. It's like you wouldn't want to buy candy from that man.
No, but Lee would steal some from him.
Yeah, she certainly would. She'd be all over stealing from his shop. He never really sold anything in that store anyway.
Well, he didn't make any money. That's why he was depressed.
I know. Yeah. Nobody ever really had jobs shit, on man. That. Did anyone ever really, other than Mr. Hooper, he's the only one that, Sully. Or who was the garbage guy? Wasn't there a Sully?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, nobody really worked. What did Gordon do?
Gordon enticed small children into his apartment to talk about milk.
Yeah,
there's that.
And then there's Maria. What was she, like, in charge of the bordello upstairs?
No, wasn't, wait.
No. She was Bert Noni's pimp.
Okay.
Wasn't David the music teacher, though? The guy?
Who's David?
He was Grover's pimp.
No, the guy.
Get out there, Grover.
I think he's dead now. Dying.
Grover is not dead.
There's no sleeping if you don't go out and earn your money.
No, I don't know.
Well, he'll be back for the Walking Dead bit too, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be the Sesame Street reunion.
No. Grover is the governor.
Yeah.
Oh.
Widge, are you going to,
you know, that makes sense because, you know, it makes sense because since the little red guy, Elmo, came around and everybody loves Elmo, Grover got dissed. So it's theoretical that Grover could be the governor.
I'm fuzzy and blue, bitches.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. That's I don't want to know what Grover would do as the governor.
So, John, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just
turning far.
Oh, God. Oh. Trying to teach the zombie little girl. Oh.
Far.
Jesus Christ. John, please say something, please.
No, not anymore. I think everything's been said that needs to be said. No, I was going to ask you, are you planning on going to Universal to see that they are doing the Walking Dead Universal Studios for their Hollow Scream? They've got a section themed for officially licensed for the Walking Dead.
That would be cool, but I will not be able to make
and
it.
And I guess it's a hospital.
Are they doing the Walking Dead tours?
They're doing.
I meant here. I was asking Wedge.
Oh, I don't know. good question.
They were at one point.
Yeah, I know they were. I know they were doing it around con, but I don't know if they were doing it for Halloween or not.
My understanding too with the haunted house that they do for the Universal Hall of Scream is it's either the hospital or jail. So that should be fun.
As long as Carl stays inside, it's okay.
Oh no, Carl runs all around the park. He runs all around the park. He's never, everyone's looking for him.
Carl.
He runs around kind of like the Home Alone kid, you know?
Yeah. I never saw that movie.
You never saw Home Alone? God bless you.
I know. Like, oh my God, that looks crappy. Dear God. Anyway.
Well, you know, I think we've proven there's never been a movie bad enough for Joe Pesci not to be in.
This is true. This is true.
You can just follow.
It's a lot of work getting into a brownstone. I mean, Lord knows I'm thinking I could get in there pretty quick, I think. With a little kid, you'd entice him with candy that Lee has stolen from her grandmother.
There you go.
It's that simple.
They won't like it, though. It's chocolate mint.
Yeah, what kind of candy was it? Was it like sugar-free chocolate mint or something?
It's that horrible candy at restaurants.
Oh.
Yeah. Her grandmother can't pilfer good candy. It's like, go to a store and pilfer, you know, a Cadbury type candy bar or something.
Oh, speaking of which, thank you for reminding me. So, Lee.
Oh, yes.
Lee, you have a task.
Okay.
Have you seen the new Cadbury type of egg they have out for the season?
What? I saw the Halloween egg. I'm not
no
sure
way.
About that.
What? What?
It is the Cadbury Scream egg.
Yes.
What's in it?
It's basically the same souls. Cream as before. Well, souls. But they use the souls to turn the cream inside green. So I'm like,
moldy souls.
Lee, you can do the same sort of martini thing, but I don't know, like Midori or something.
So what Midori, you're saying perhaps. Is they're the same cream eggs from Easter, except they've let the cream age.
Yes.
Nice.
It's not the candy from Easter, kids.
It's last Easter.
Yeah. Actually, it's Easter from 3 years ago.
So, well, so that's why they
that's
were.
That's how long it'll need, yes.
2009 was a really good year for cream.
So it's what, green inside? The fondant is like a green?
It's slightly green, yes.
And it turns your insides green? Is that it?
Well, my insides are green already, so.
Okay. Mm. All right. So should we talk about Boardwalk Empire?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
So is it just me, or are there like 25,000 things going on in this show?
There are 25,000 things going on.
But what's amazing is that they're juggling it all, and it's tight as hell.
It is. It's amazing on how many storylines they're going, because I know you were kind of hesitant about Margaret's kind of transformation.
Yeah.
But she's grabbing her own, doing her own little power grab as well.
Oh, no.
In the Catholic Church.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't like it during season two, mm-hmm. because they were setting it up. But
right.
But watching her do her thing in season three, I see why they did what they're doing. Yeah.
Use a fucking bishop to get your way. That was class.
And that's not a euphemism, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I'm believing you.
Yep.
It's a chess term.
And she's going to castle next. No, I'm really enjoying it. And there's some intense shit, like with Richard. I was just like, Richard, what are you doing? Richard, what are you doing? So.
Yeah. How many men have you killed? Oh, 63. I love that. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He is fantastic. Pretty much everybody in there is really great. Even what's his name? Is it Bobby Carnival? Is that what his name is? The guy who's playing Chip Rossetti, the crazy guy?
Oh my God. That guy is a nut job.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
I mean, I like the way he's kind of a character that's kind of tying everything's coming to him. if you notice that he's kind of a central annoyance character, that that's where everything is coming to play. That and Mitski, what is his name?
Well, isn't that kind of taking the place of Jimmy?
No, that's Owen that's kind of taking the place of Darmody.
Yeah, tough. I think the thing is the for second season, you kind of had the Commodore as your enemy, so to speak. I would say. But this guy is even more in your face and in the works than the Commodore, which I find is great. And I mean, the trouble is, of course, like with the Commodore, you don't know if at any point it's going to just take a sharp left-hand turn on anybody.
Yeah, right.
So
my question is when did Darmody's mom hook up with what's his name to turn the Commodore's house into a whorehouse?
Well, hasn't it been like 18 months since season 2?
Yeah, with Nucky's brother being in jail for 2 years. Yes. So, they jumped forward in time. 2 years.
And,
yeah. Okay.
And Shea Whigham lost a shit ton of weight for this.
Oh my God. Yeah. To me, it looks, I like, you know, cause he's the one that has changed the most. And I think it works because he looks feral.
Well, and
in the thing of he could turn either way.
Oh, yeah. You know? He's the wild card. You don't know what's going to happen with him. And, I could see him going either way. And I think my hope, cause I don't know, maybe it's just me. I really like characters that go out on the edge and come back rather, cause I think that's almost more interesting to write and watch than just, oh, well, I've gone to the dark side and now I am dark. You know, that's almost too easy. So if he were to come back and actually be, you know, helpful. I think that would be even more interesting than just being a pain in the ass, because I'm like, well, you've done pain in the ass and that didn't really get you anywhere, did it? So.
Well, I have a question because I've kind of thought about this because I know about the time jump, for a Boardwalk. Do we have to put the MASH clock, the MASH actual war, actual event versus series clock up? Aren't we getting really close to the end of Prohibition?
Hang on. Let me, sadly, I watched that Ken Burns series, which, by the way, if you haven't, is fucking awesome.
Well, the thing is, I think with them bringing in the element of heroin into the mix, I think they can scoot their way back out.
Okay. So they're kind of planning to go past Prohibition
think so.
They could keep right on going. I mean, because my understanding, now I have not read the original book, but
it's on my list.
doesn't it sort of keep going?
I think so.
But my thing is, it's like you could just tell that story ongoing as long as you wanted. You don't need, I mean, as crucial as Buscemi is right now, he doesn't have to stick around.
No, and I can see things changing up in the near future. Like I said, most of these people can get jobs elsewhere. I mean, that they don't have to be tied to this show permanently, you know, cause Steve has always worked. So I can see them even knocking him off like next year. And it could be easily done, because here's the thing. Like you said, with the whole Prohibition creeping to a close.
1922. We still got 11 years.
Right. But you have Capone rising.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, the mob up in New York rising as well. So you're going to have a whole gangland thing going on in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So, I mean, you can almost keep it going.
I would love to see it keep going.
And then if they do it in the 70s, you can somehow put Burt Lancaster into it somehow. Yes.
you would have cocaine and porn.
Yes.
Hey, now, Rox, here's what I realized. And I think I realized this when season 3 started. Now, you remember, and Tuffy, you'd appreciate this too. Well, John would too. There is a you remember the good old days of the huge like TV miniseries? Like they would put like Lonesome Dove or a Michener novel on the
Wait,
screen.
You mean like American Horror Story?
Yeah. I have not watched that, but
I like that.
It was a
miniseries that comes back.
No, I know. But like with Boardwalk Empire, I did know that much. But like with Boardwalk Empire, it's got that feel because the thing about those miniseries was they were huge and sprawling.
They were huge.
Yeah, it's just like we're in Chicago now. We're in New York now. We're in Atlantic City now.
They always liked lumping in as many people. And this is even stemming from the 70s, starting off with I Remember the Bastard. Which was about the Revolutionary War. You had, you know, Patricia Neal in it. You threw everybody into it. Same thing with Roots. You had everybody in that. You know, every single, Connors and stuff.
North and South sticks in my head, but I don't know why.
Yeah, that's another big one,
too. It wasn't particularly very good.
No, but it was big.
But it was big, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always think about, like...
Oh, God, War and Remembrance. Does anybody remember how long that ran?
Well, as long as we're going to go bad miniseries, we should... Let me just cut right to the chase. And
Shogun.
No. Oh, no, no. No. No, I can't. No. No, I see your Thornbirds. I see your Shogun. And bam, Kris Kristofferson in America, bitches.
Ooh.
Oh,
Oh, see, I was going to go for the...
Kris Kristofferson was in the band America? I don't remember that.
Oh, my God. Just so
I've been under tyranny with a horse with no name.
People, if you want to see something utterly humorous, America. That's like the reimagining of America if the Allies have won, correct?
It's basically Russia has taken over... It's kind of like imagine take Red Dawn, okay, the original Red Dawn, take Red Storm Rising, okay, strip out all the interesting bits, and then jump forward like 10 years to where nothing exciting is happening. That's America.
Yes.
Nobody remembers that.
No. Oh my God, there was also like the Holocaust now where that had like James Woods got his job.
Unless you're Mel Gibson arrived. And then there was no Holocaust.
Well, okay, that's why he passed the role.
Meryl Streep got her start in the Holocaust too as well. She was in that. Fritz Weaver was in that. That was another big one. It was big up north.
Schindler got his start in the Holocaust.
Yeah, Schindler, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Schindler opened for the Holocaust.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, Mike, a very young Michael Moriarty.
Yeah.
And David Warner and Tova Feltsche. Yeah.
David Warner, who did he play?
I will tell
who
you.
Who didn't he play is really the question.
You know.
What's that, John?
Nothing. Never mind.
He was English. He probably played a Nazi.
Reinhard Heydrich.
Oh, all right, a Nazi. There you go.
Yeah. So now, yes, he was one of the main architects of the Holocaust. There you go.
Oh, okay. There was another one. Well,
so,
it was
so
like
the master
a
program then.
Series. There was one about Albert Speer, and it had Rutger Hauer and John Gielgud in it.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Arthur?
Yes.
Oh, my God, John. Oh, my God. That's going to live in my head forever. I don't know. See, here's the problem. I don't know what I want more. I don't know if I want Rutger Hauer as Arthur. I don't know if I want him as Bitterman. Or I don't know if I want him as... Oh, my God. He could... No, even better. He plays all of them other than John Gielgud. So he is not only everyone who's not Liza Minnelli or John Gielgud is played by Rutger Hauer.
See,
Howell.
I was about to say Liza too.
No.
Rutger Hauer is Liza Minnelli.
No, let's not take the high point of Liza Minnelli's career away from her, okay? Let's leave her something, okay?
Oh, she's got Arrested Development. She's very funny in that show.
I've never seen it.
What?
I don't watch television.
That's on Netflix. So
it's
it
on
count.
DVD.
Yeah, I know, but
not only is it on Netflix, but it's going. New episodes are going to Netflix. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm trying to find
apparently
a good.
That bores Rocks though.
Well, you know what's sad is they so desperately wanted Andy Griffith on that show. And they thought they were making fun of him, and they really desperate. And this was Ron Howard going, no, we really want you on this show. And yeah, he turned them down.
I will say this. It would have been much improved with Cars and Stallone. Now,
yes, everything is.
Well, you know what? It's oddly, the last, I think.
Except for Maximum Overdrive. Maximum Overdrive, not any better with Cars.
But it lacks Stallone. No, I'm sorry. You're right. Stallone played the Green Goblin truck. You're right.
What, the last original big miniseries?
No. They've been still going. I mean, they still happen. No, the last one I watched was probably John Adams, but I watched that on DVD. That was
intense. Oh, that was good. Yeah.
No, I was trying to find a good list of like 70s and 80s miniseries.
Oh, V.
And of course, yes. Oh yes.
V and V, the Final Battle. That was actually the sequel.
Yeah, which was actually decent, and it was only with the series that it sort of jumped the mothership, so to speak.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
because originally they left it. I think V they left it at. Yeah, they're there, and they've taken over.
Yeah. Yeah,
have a nice day.
It was walked great. Off. And yeah. then they came back and somebody said, well, then we should probably have the humans win because a lot of people were perturbed by the original ending of V. So they had to go back and do final battle.
Really? Yeah.
Well, I think they were going to do the follow up miniseries anyway, just off the, once the first couple of episodes did exactly what they did. But, yeah, I think the original ending to V was that, yeah, we're just going to take over.
Well, because I will say this.
Because I don't think Final Battle was in mind when they originally did it. I think it was for the shock value. And I think it was for, yeah, the aliens win.
Well, I will say there's so, first of all, kids, ask your parents about V and then go fucking watch it.
And avoid the ABC series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and the shot. Best thing about that, the original miniseries.
Yes,
you should watch it at the pace it actually aired.
Well, and you should remember that nobody knew what the reveal was when it aired.
Yeah,
because this was before the internet. This was before you got spoilers left and right. And I don't know about you guys, Rocks probably was leaping up and down and doing a happy dance, but.
Yeah.
I was just like,
they finally found me.
Well, you know, Diana was a hobo. No, I was just like, what the fuck is happening? It was great. But, well, I found A-List, I, Claudius. That counts.
Yes, it does. Well, does it? I mean,
masterpiece, right?
Yeah. Well, I never really considered those. Because then you'd have to go with. Because
then you could say Henry VIII.
Downstairs and Henry VIII. They were always there. And it was such a niche group that it's like if I went into school, because I remember seeing the one. Now, a couple years ago, they had what? Angels with the Iron Jaws. It was about suffragettes in America. Well, Patricia Quinn, that was at Dragon Con, she was in an episode, she was in a masterpiece. Theater, show about suffragettes.
It was called Angels with Iron Jaws.
I think so because it had to do with it.
Was that the anime version of Touched by an Angel?
No, it had to do with the thing is when you went on a hunger strike, they would force food down your throat any means possible.
That was the anime version of Charlie's Angels.
Yes,
nice.
But the funny thing is everyone jumped on the American one, and I'm like, but this was done years ago through Masterpiece Theater. That's how it sunk into certain people's heads what we watched Masterpiece Theater at our house every Sunday. So yeah, we watched all of that stuff. You know, even, you know, some of the really awful ones.
Was The Day After a miniseries, or was that just
It's a TV movie.
Okay.
It's a TV movie, yeah. Well, it was 2 days.
What?
It was a two-parter The Day After was.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was.
Because it's, you know, they had the whole, you know, before the bomb and then after the bomb type of thing. So yeah, it was 2 days.
I don't remember that at all. Oh, okay, hang on. No, you're absolutely right. It was supposed to be. Oh shit, what was it? God, it keeps changing back and forth. God damn it. Okay, no, it was originally supposed to be a 4-hour, 2-night miniseries. Okay. This is all, of course, off of Wikipedia, which is always right. But I remember this because I have so few memories of, like,
when they repeated it, they repeated it in two parts.
No, they might have. They might have. But okay. I remember watching it the first time it aired and just being completely fucked up. But no,
and that was just because of Gutenberg.
You're stoned?
No, yes, I was stoned in when was this?
He was stoned by Gutenberg.
Yes, I was. And there's the title. No, I was 11. Yeah, you're right. I was off my ass on Smack at 11.
Wow. Smack and Steve Gutenberg, man. That's what it does. That was the late early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Just wait for Police Academy, kid.
They have Jason Robards in it.
Yeah, it
Another interesting facts.
I think we've already talked about my complete and utter fascination with nuclear holocaust films of the 80s.
Ooh. Yeah, but I saw all of the Threads.
I know you watched all of Threads, and that explains a lot, Rox. That yeah. really does. Once I heard that, I went, oh, it completely makes sense. Jesus.
I did it for you. How's that?
Thank you, Rox. Thank you, Rox, for throwing yourself heroically on that nuclear grenade.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, it's true. You probably couldn't count the British series because, quite frankly, they made so many American series look like shit. So
yeah.
So that makes sense. God, there's some others that I'm missing some. I wish now I will say this, Wikipedia. What the fuck? You have lists of fucking everything, but you don't have a list of TV miniseries. How is that possible? Jesus. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always thought Lonesome Dove was pretty good. The first
The first Lonesome Dove was great.
The next two, no. But
and
the
there
first...
was some other. There was some other. Was it Mr. Centennial that I'm thinking of that was actually really good? Because that had fucking everybody. Hang on. Where is that?
There is a thing on Yahoo for the top 100 most popular TV miniseries of all time.
Yeah, see, what's interesting is you go to the problem with IMDb.
Oh, that's it. Angels in America. I thought it was Angels of Iron Jaws or something, which would have been better.
Well, Angels in America is the stage play, isn't it?
Is that the one about the AIDS?
It's about AIDS, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
Yeah, Roots, Shogun, Band of Brothers is a miniseries?
Yeah,
I thought that was a
miniseries.
No, that counts.
Okay.
Yeah,
Sam was awesome.
Yeah, my understanding of the definition is that it's like if you are doing a series with a definite end, like V, or even you could have counted before it came back for a second series, Luther, because originally that's what I mean. I don't. It was one of those things where they went, okay, we're going to go do this, and then we'll just see what happens. But I mean, it's Britain, and they're fine with doing 4 episodes. But check this out. Friends and neighbors, and you guys remember this, the cast of Centennial. Holy fuck. All right, here you go. Raymond Burr, Barbara Carrera, Richard Chamberlain, Robert Conrad, Richard Crenna, Brian Keefe, Sally Kellerman, Donald Pleasance, Lynn Redgrave, Dennis Weaver, William Atherton, Timothy Dalton, Andy Griffith, Gregory Harrison, Anthony Zerba, Robert Vaughn, And that's it.
Jerry Mathers as the Beaver.
But that fucking cast.
Which one was Centennial?
That was the one that was literally like 100 years in. No, I'm sorry. It's basically he went to an area of Colorado and told the story of the area and the people who lived there over the course of 200 years. So he literally had like, you know, families come in and get old and die. And it's like, it was amazing.
So it was like a long version of the Magnificent Ambersons. Is that it?
Well, I'll throw one in before they actually decided to continue it as a series, Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Because Twin Peaks was originally just a miniseries.
Yes, it was.
Oh, and Lee's going to be sorry she missed it because Mark Harmon was in Centennial.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, 12 episodes. Holy shit. Yeah, they weren't just 12 episodes. It was, let's see, what is it? The opening and the closing were 3 hours, and the other 10 episodes were 2 hours each. So it is a, what? That's basically 12 episodes at about 100 and some odd minutes apiece. Shit. Average.
Well, they're listing Cosmos as one.
Yeah, I could see that.
Really?
Yeah, they sort of did a mix, and on this one for Yahoo, they sort of lumped in whatever they wanted to.
I see. No, that is true because it was 13 episodes. Yeah. So I would count that.
Yeah.
How long is the new one supposed to be? Is it also supposed to be 13?
Well, there's a new one.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane's producing it. With the guy from Nova Now, Tyson.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. with Carl's widow on board to produce it.
Uh-huh. Oh, does Seth MacFarlane do all the voices of the stars?
Now you heard a complete tangent. You heard that he's hosting the Oscars, right?
Yeah. Seth MacFarlane, and that was actually we were talking about it the other day, and that was before it actually got announced. And that was actually my guess as to who would host the Oscars.
Oh, good job!
Well, the guy because, can sing.
Well, because of Ted, basically.
Oh yeah,
because now he's actually a movie star. So Ted.
Well, okay. Did anyone see Ted? Because I meant to, but I didn't get around to it.
No.
I heard, I mean, the critics really liked it, and I heard good things about it.
Made lots of money.
Yeah.
Made a crap ton of money. And in fact, I was listening, I forgot where I heard this, but it was actually given to Fox first. It's one of those classic, you know, hey, you know, you've been cool to me, so I'll give you guys first bid on it. And I said, nah, you don't do live action. And,
nice.
Yeah, so then it went on to make hundreds of millions of dollars. So,
which is funny because now hasn't Fox done a deal to give him a live action comedy?
Probably, I would imagine so.
Well,
a sitcom. I think he's producing a live action sitcom.
No, I was just going to see if. No, wait a minute. That's what was the? Oh shit! What was the one that they did? Da-da-da. Hang on. I was going to say that Universal might have gotten burned on Basketball, but technically that wasn't Parker and Stone's project, and that was Universal. So never mind, I never said it.
I heard you say something. What did you just say?
I didn't say a goddamn thing.
Shogun.
I said Shogun.
Show enough.
Oh my!
I think the common link to a lot of these is Richard Chamberlain.
Yes.
Mm. Oh yeah, he was your go-to miniseries guy.
Yes,
he was your go-to miniseries guy, and it's, I don't know.
Let's see. Let's see, where is it? That's so weird because for people that don't know, James Michener was the author who basically would spin, you know, open an atlas to a random place and then write a book using the title of the place. I mean, Hawaii, you know, Poland. I mean, that's what he would do. But I was
Hobo Camp coming soon.
Rocks. We are pitching. We should pitch that to A&E. I don't care what the fuck it's about.
Yeah.
Forget A&E. Pitch it to Andrew Bird.
Mm. Oh wow. No, I'm like really surprised because apparently only two miniseries were made out of Michener stuff, but he's the guy I always think of. You had Centennial, and then you had Space, starring James Garner. Wow. That's I never even knew that existed. How weird.
Wait, so, what did he point to there? He missed the map completely and got to space?
Is that well, you know what? He may have said, I'm tired of doing... you know what? Here's what he did. He had an atlas in front of him, and he pointed, and you're right. He hit his desktop and went, oh, well, that must be the stars. That's good. No, yeah, I've never even heard of this. Now, when was this? Oh, was that... No, 85, I was still watching television. Where the fuck was I? Anyway, because remember, kids, that was 1985. There was nothing else to do. Harry Hamlin, Beau Bridges, Blair Brown, Bruce Stern, and Michael York. Huh.
Wow. No Richard Chamberlain.
Well,
you can kind of tell the high point of the television miniseries by whether or not Richard Chamberlain was anywhere near it.
That's a good point. Hang on. Let me see. Where is...
Because you can start to see the decline of the miniseries by the lack of Richard Chamberlain in it.
No, yeah, that's true. I'm looking, where is it? Yeah, because he did like The Thornbirds, The Missing Years, right?
Yeah.
And, he was in Leverage recently. So he's still working.
Oh, yeah, he's still working.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to see what other, like Shogun, Thornbirds. They don't have a list of just, let me look up Richard Chamberlain miniseries.
I think he was in Roots. I think he was in Roots 2.
Roots 2, the sequel?
The Next Generation?
Actually,
Electric Boogaloo?
That's actually what it was called, actually.
Let's see. Hello. What's happening? Let's see. Yes. Centennial, Shogun, Thornbirds, Wallenberg, Dream West. And then this is from 1988. They did a miniseries based on Bourne Identity.
Oh.
A TV miniseries. And let's see. This is a New York Times article from 1988. Let's see.
I'm guessing they didn't do the car chase.
Probably not. Yeah, was he in Roots?
Well, I know Tinker Tailor was originally a miniseries.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Excellent miniseries.
Yeah. Winds of Horrible War. Movie, that lasted forever.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best, but it wasn't bad. Yeah. So, now they...
It was a miniseries.
What was that?
It and the Stand. Oh.
So, yeah, that was, yeah. So was that Rose Red or whatever that.
Yeah, well, the Stand, if you're doing a miniseries blitz and you want to go back and watch it, watch the first episode and then stop. Cause the kids were amazing, but the second part was not very good. Yeah. And then the Stand was worth watching for Gary Sinise and,
Rob Lowe.
Well, Rob Lowe, yes, because he was, amazing as Nick.
Yeah.
And what was great about that was he did the Salem's Lot, TV movie as well, because he is apparently a King fanatic.
Yeah.
And so the best story about that was there is a scene where in the Stand, somebody's sniping at them. And there's a gun going off. And the other guy who's really great in that, the Tom Cullen, he was on a Coach.
Yeah.
The actor. Yes. Anyway. Oh, Fagerbach, I think is what his name is. Right. Anyway, everyone's nodding. I can tell they're humoring me. Anyway, the problem with getting shot at with a noise like that, and Rox knows this because she's shot at enough people, you can't not flinch.
No.
I mean, it's an involuntary response. But Rob Lowe is actually deaf, completely deaf in one ear. So they stopped up his other ear so he couldn't hear the shots. And that's how he's able to, because he's playing a deaf guy. there's gunfire going off around him, and he's just placidly picking up something off a park bench while the other guy's going, holy shit! But no, there were some great... Oh, and Jamie Sheridan was actually a really good Flag. I mean,
yeah.
Like I was very skeptical, but there's a great line they added where he meets... oh, shit. The guy who played Lloyd in that, who is character actor, who's been in everything, including, if I remember correctly, the Justice League of America pilot.
Which one was Lloyd?
Lloyd was the guy in the prison who stuck there and Flag sprung him.
He's Miguel Ferrer.
Miguel Ferrer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically he comes up to him and they're doing the exchange and it's pretty much right out of the book. But then he goes, pleased to meet you, Lloyd. Hope you guess my name. And I just went, fuck, that's perfect.
Flag was the good guy, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, Mother Abigail was the good guy.
But she's a girl.
she was so old she would have bitch slapped Hugh John.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that reminds me, Golden Years.
Yeah, that was good. Except
was a series,
they
Owen.
Freaking changed.
And that was they started that as a miniseries and then brought it back for like I think it got killed after two episodes, but they tried to bring it back as a series.
I could have sworn it was the other way around, where
I thought it was a summer mini series. It was like the only time they did a summer thing. And that's when it aired. Now here's the thing. There were two endings. Now the one I saw during the first run, the guys of the what is it? The Secret Service, the shop actually get the old man. And then they've been replaying it, and they changed it that him and his wife sort of evaporate and go off into the netherworld type of thing. And the one chick who used to be a shop girl, she runs off with the colonel guy.
Huh.
And they kill, what's his name? Andrews. Or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Now, Tuffley, you're totally right. It was the fact that they canceled it before the miniseries finished.
Wow.
It was 8 episodes. They aired 7, and they never showed
the
final episode. It hasn't even come out on video.
I think A&E aired it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't
Yeah, A&E aired it first, and then I think the Sci-Fi Channel got it.
Yeah, Sci-Fi did it, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the ending I remember.
But no, because they basically changed the last minutes of the 7th episode. But here's the thing. Now, I'll check the IMDb, but on Wikipedia, they only list 7 episodes, 7 directors. So if there was an 8th episode, nobody's talking.
I know it was in the rotation for like Sci-Fi's when they used to have the collection of the short-lived series.
No, it's IMDb doesn't list it either.
Because I know when Sci-Fi used to do is they would air in their afternoon block, they would air shows that weren't on very long.
Trio used to do that too, or whatever it was called.
Yeah, and Golden Years was in that rotation because it would pop
Trio
up
was the one that ran that as well.
Yeah, I think at the time. Sci-Fi has gone through so many owners. I think at the time, I think maybe the owners of Trio were also the people who started Sci-Fi. So it's possible. I think it was and A&E ran it. I know A&E ran it a couple of times.
Now here's a cool mini series that was awesome, and it was House of Cards with Ian Richardson.
You know,
about an MP that rises to become prime minister. Awesome.
Now what? Wait, didn't they?
His name is Prime Minister Awesome.
Yeah,
you're
no wonder he was elected
minister.
No, that was this was called House of Cards.
Now weren't they? Wasn't like Kevin Spacey producing and going to star in a U.S. version of that for like Netflix?
Netflix,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Because David Fincher's producing it.
But there's something so cool about watching Ian Richardson, because he was like the first show where you actually had a character, you know, talk directly to the camera about his thoughts. And it was all.
On a completely different topic, Wedge.
Yeah.
They're doing an American Rake.
Well, somebody's happy about that. Who's doing it?
I don't know who's doing it, but they got Greg Kinnear for it.
Oh, I can actually see that. Now, has anyone watched Rake yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. They haven't started airing the new season yet on DirecTV, I don't think.
Yeah, it's really good. The first series, by hook or by crook, must be seen. Richard Roxburgh, let me put it this way, Rox, here's the highest compliment I can pay this show.
Yeah.
Is it Cleaver Green?
Yeah.
Is a hobo.
Yay. Rob, you made Lee cry. Because you didn't get on her.
Why?
Because she wanted to talk about Doctor Who, but she has to get up at 7:15, so she had to leave.
That's not my problem.
Well, we saved Doctor Who for now, for you to show up.
Yeah, we got to talk.
I can call her now and tell her about Doctor Who.
I dare you call her house.
Oh, God, please don't.
No, right. I don't want to do that to Lee. Despite right, what so... people think, I actually like her. And she does come in useful. Like next year when we do the fist bumps and we get tired, Lee can be short enough to leave through the crowd and bring us our water.
Okay. Oh my God, she can also pilfer candy for us too now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or she can follow behind us and hold the hand sanitizer so we don't get sick.
I didn't get sick this year.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Well, Rox, you your entire immune system has been replaced with nanotechnology, so... Sorry.
Oh, she was rewritten. Ah, damn it.
Yes, I will say this, Tuffley, if there was ever one of us that was born to be a Warren Ellis character, it's fucking Rox, is it not?
Right.
She's the authority all wrapped up into one. All right, so, Doctor Who. Everyone's seen it. I know John's watched it.
Like 6 times already. It's so amazing that I've forgotten everything about it.
Who wants to go first?
Oh, me first.
Go, John.
So, the Doctor, I mean, he did this really weird, it was really wild, you know, because I never understand where he's coming from or where he's going. It's almost as though companions are doing sonic screwdriver things and things that are bigger on the inside than the outside. My summary is over.
It's actually quite accurate. Almost five of those things actually happen.
Yeah, I don't know that I have anything to add to that, Rob. Did we lose Rob? We may have lost
Rob. No, you didn't. Sorry.
Okay, second. So, all right. So, Rob, do you want to, let me put it this way. As the guy who's running the Doctor Who column on Anglotopia, oh shit! You're that disgusted with it that you're like, fuck this.
No, because actually, I'm taking over the column.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's all apparently no one reads it, so they're talking about pulling the plug.
But I read it.
So I read it. Well, the problem, Rob, is that you're so spoilerific that I've just only now been able to go back and read them and go, oh my God.
I know, and
so
I try not to be. I did it without doing spoilers, and everyone got mad.
Well, it's going to be called the Bootelligan when John takes over.
Yes.
Which
anyway,
honestly,
I'm sorry.
That needs to be a Doctor Who device of some kind. Rob, you should get in touch with the BBC prop guy, and we should just have him throw together some bits and pieces and call it the Bootelligan.
Yeah.
So anyway, Rob,
it will definitely involve a plunger.
Anyone who has been following the Unique Geek and Weekend Justice and is quite familiar with John and the soundboard could be a member of the Bootelligentsia.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. So, Rob, please take this away from me. your thoughts on the Angels take Manhattan?
Okay. I've seen it 7 times.
Wow, that's one more than John.
Probably 6 more than I needed to, but.
Probably.
First of all, I just want to say, out of all the things this season that I've enjoyed, I'm in the minority because the stories I've liked haven't been the ones everybody else likes. But I just want to say, to me, the best thing about this season has been Arthur Darvill. He's just been great. And Roy's dad. They've been, like, great.
Yes.
Like, give those two guys their own show. That would just be great. I think, though, and which we had talked about this a little bit, we have reached sort of a saturation point with the Ponds leaving. And I think that it did need to go. They did need to go. Yes. Having said that, with Doctor Who being at the, and I'm getting beaten up for this, but I'm sticking to my guns. I think this is the single most important moment for the show in terms of American popularity, because there was something about with the Ponds and the way that that whole companion thing played out that worked with American audiences that none of the other companion combinations worked with, right? Having them leave and completely changing the direction of the show and having them, quote unquote, get darker like it's supposed to get, is this Fonzie jumping over the shark tank? I don't know. I mean, I'll still watch it. Probably Rox will still watch it. People that like it will still watch it. But the average sort of passive person watching it because they're curious about it, are they going to devote that much time to it with them gone? Because the best thing that the Ponds did, besides the fact that they had some really great, well-written stories and they did some really cool things with the plot,
Karen Gillan was a hottie. That didn't hurt matters.
Well, I was trying to dance around that. But I'm trying to dance around in the same way that I'm not going to dance around the new companion might also be in that situation. Mm. Having said that.
She is.
Yes. But having said that, I think the interesting thing about the Ponds is that they are easily relatable. Those characters somehow were easily relatable. So I think losing them going forward is going to be a really interesting sort of linchpin for the rest of the show. Having said that, the problem with last year, and I was so excited when I thought of this at 4 a.m, I was going to email you or call you, but I'm like, no, I'm going to leave you be. It dawned on me at 4 a.m. that the reason why my issues I had with last year is that they had 2-parters that should have been 1-parter. My issue with this year is that Angels Take Manhattan would have made much more sense and been much better as a 2-parter. Because I think my issue with it is they crammed so much into it that exposition got out the window. They never really explained why River's there. The book thing could have been fleshed out. Just sort of like,
They didn't explain a lot of stuff. Go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
No, I mean, there's some of it I'm sure we'll go back and sort of try to explain, but it was almost like Stephen Moffat wrote a Russell T. Davies script because it went by so fast. No, I mean, it really reminded me of some of those Tenet stories. It reminded me of the Tenet finale in its pacing. It was just so bang, 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 bang. And it's like, why did you bother filming in New York when you've got New York and I'm not seeing anything?
True.
I mean, when they filmed the episode in Spain, I saw Spain, you know? So it just seemed it ran really roughshod on a lot of other things that they normally do with the show. Normally it's very methodical. It's very planned out.
Yeah.
And I think this time they had to get so many points in so many places that it was just all over the place. It would have probably, upon hindsight, been better. Although you're losing the dramatic bit at the end when the doctor tells River that it's their parents, it might have been better not to have River in that story and to use her later. It may have been better sort of too to sort of explain, like, okay, why are the Weeping Angels in Manhattan? What happened to the Weeping Angels at the end in the cemetery? They just sort of let it go. I mean, there's a lot of just stuff they didn't get to.
Oh, yeah. Like, for example, Rob, let me throw this in since you're talking about the stuff they did. And obviously, if anyone hasn't figured it out by now, fucking spoilers. But the thing that kills me is, it's like, okay, so you can't go back to 1938. It's the Ponds. It's not like they're not used to waiting. go back in 1939. I mean, it's like, come on. You've left yourself a huge fucking, or even better, I'm sorry. I thought this was a show about time travel. You've already established that there's so much paradox going on that you can basically rewrite even fixed points. Go back and give them some more information so that what happened doesn't happen and you will undo it. But I mean, it's just like you've left it way, way too open to just simply go.
I think they were a fixed point.
Well, and
it's like,
that,
all right,
that would make sense.
Rob,
but maybe you could
it's
tell
like,
me that.
What's his name being a fixed point? Barrowman. He's now a fixed point in the universe.
Yeah, but Rob's got a good point, which is just say that.
Right.
Don't let me, the whole thing about, I mean, one of the things is that like, okay.
Well, isn't that what he said in the cemetery before Amy did it?
No. Basically what he said, and again, talking to Rob's thing about exposition out the window, they threw out the really nice line about, oh, I can't ever go back to 1938, da, 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 da. He didn't say anything about, cause basically what that would mean is if he can't ever go back, that means that he can't ever go back. I mean, he would be stuck in the present. And if that was the case, then they needed to be clear about it. But even then, the future is a big place. So at some point, he would be unstuck from it. I mean, we all know that. My thing is, if you go back to the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the theory is with that, and them going to the trouble of making the point about 1938 means that technically then, by that rule of following things, they can't go back to the time war. So that gets it off the table. That's the only thing I can think of. No. But it's like, I know you thought too hard when you did this, but please don't.
Well, I understand.
I actually don't mind not seeing the time war, though. That's not, I don't have a huge desire to need to see that.
Okay.
No, if they ever want to use it.
Well, hang on. 50 words or less. What's the time war?
The thing that the Doctor did to the Daleks before the series rebooted. Okay.
Before the Eccleston Doctor, we meet sometime after the McGann Doctor.
Right.
And basically, something finally snapped that caused the massive war between the Time Lords and the Daleks, which a lot of people theorize was started by the Time Lords with Tom Baker going back in time, sending the Doctor to destroy the Daleks before they were created. Right? So the Daleks view that as sort of the start of the Time War. Right? So the Time War is basically the war between the Daleks and the Time Lords. And the only way that the war can end is for the Doctor just to flip a switch and kill everybody. So that's why he's the last Time Lord, in theory, is because he has killed his people and the Daleks to end the Time War.
Even though the Daleks are still around, so he actually didn't do a very good job.
Well, the Time Lord, I mean, technically the Time Lord is still around because he can go back in history and run into him. I mean, it's tricky because, I mean, it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard for that show to differentiate space and time.
No, I understand.
Like, technically, he could go back and meet a Dalek that didn't get to before the point of going to the Time War. He can also meet Time Lords before they go to the Time War. So, you know.
Well, my thing is,
I think, and if Tuffley can add to that, I think that's my 50 word or less. What is the Time War?
Tuffley threw it in. I think between the two of you guys, I got it. Now, here's the thing that I would say is that with the fifth series, okay, first Matt Smith series, yes, okay, yeah. Can you pick that thing apart and can you find holes and problems with it? Yes. But the reason I will defend it is because I was so very entertained that I am, you know me, I mean, like, I don't give a fuck. As long as I'm entertained, that's what I came for. Yeah. I didn't come, it's not a Merchant Ivory film. I'm not there to think really hard. Now, if you want me to think really hard and you can entertain me, then you can rock on. And that was like the two part at the end of the fifth series.
Yeah.
But the problem is here is that I'm not terribly entertained and there are a bunch of holes and you can pick it apart. My whole problem was, first of all, I didn't appreciate the inadvertent references to Ghostbusters 2. Okay. That was kind of unnerving. I thought the whole usage of the Statue of Liberty.
Wait. There was a Ghostbusters 2.
Good point, Tuffley. Thank you. My problem is when you have the Statue of Liberty involved, it was so much creepier seeing it in the background and seeing the picture in the elevator. And then when it showed up, it was almost funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, was come on.
Well, and it made that really stupid walking noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was
Which
like,
is
you,
the sound effect of the Cybermen walking.
Yeah, I was like, guys, you that was cause okay, let me just say this. Let me say something positive. Okay. That opening noir section with Mike McShane and the gumshoe was flawless. That was
amazing.
That was
good. That was really good.
That was well shot. It was well cut. It felt completely different from most Doctor Who. Not saying that most Doctor Who is not well cut, not well shot, but this was like really tight. Okay. And then you had, you know, the thing about all the statues. And then of course you see the Statue of Liberty and, you know, anyone who knows New York is going, oh fuck. I mean, so that was really nice. But my problem is this, and while I think that the story itself and the concept behind it was not bad, I go back to my fear, which proved true for me, is that if you say that in the episode before, The Slow Invasion, which is my favorite of the season thus far, if you say, okay, well, the Pawns have decided to do real life and they don't like real life, so they're going to go travel with the Doctor. And then in the very next adventure, they get taken off the board. It's less of a grand epic exit than it is a bad decision.
And well, I think Cube got moved into the, or, I'm sorry, I think Power 3 got moved in the season too.
Hmm.
I think it was supposed to be placed in a different slot.
Well, if they had done that, like to open with or something, and then had some more adventures and left off the whole, well, should we or shouldn't we? Bullshit. And said that sort of got decided, but because we've already established that time has passed, right? If we had, if we had taken it as read that they had changed their mind and said, look, yes, it's dangerous. We understand that. We accept it. And we would rather go and party with the Doctor than be here and be bored. Then that would have made more sense to me. The other thing I did not like is that after you have that entire thing of, oh, we wound up in the cemetery and we're fine. And then the shock ending was a bit of a fuck you, it felt like. And it, Amy, okay, first of all, I understand. I know you guys have been with the show for a while. Amy's my first companion. Matt Smith is my first Doctor. I understand based on the lore that means.
It's also cute too.
It's what?
It's also cute too.
It's cute, yeah. It was a very cute fuck you. No, I thought that Amy, being such the strong character that she was, deserved a better exit than, okay, I have to go now because my husband didn't have enough sense to get on the fucking TARDIS when he should have. I mean, that sort of pisses me off. And Rory should, I mean, Rory, yes, he's sort of, I know they've sort of done, oh, he's bumbling Rory and whatever, whatever. And they actually did do the line about, I always come back, which I thought was great. But it's like, you are also, Rory, you're a badass. You're the fucking centurion when you want to be, right? I mean, the best moment for me of everything for Rory was when they were looking for Amy last season, and it's revealed that he's the guy who's not going to stop, and the entire fleet's blowing up behind him. And he's just standing there going, what, motherfuckers? I was like, yes, thank you. Thank you. The nice guy can be a badass. So I just felt like it was a pussy ending for the both of them. And that all being said, I understand that they wanted to set it up to where they could leave and not have to be pestered about, are you going to come back? And I understand that was probably part of the plan. But come on, guys. I mean, really, it just felt it felt like a complete betrayal of the characters, which they were skating around this entire time and they managed to do. But again, that's me. So
yeah, I wasn't that bothered by it.
Really?
Same here.
No, and here's the reason. Number one is because there are over the history of the series, there are very few companion. The regeneration episodes usually suck.
Yeah.
The companion leaving episode usually sucks.
Yeah.
That's
so,
true.
So, you know, it's not anything new. And it's one of those things that, particularly with companions, that by the time you get to the story in which they are leaving, you're probably tired of that one anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tegan.
But
they left her the first time. There was a point to that. I was just ready for the pawns to go. I think, especially since, you know, they had gone to the trouble of already writing them out of the show twice already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, so it was sort of like, oh, great. They're back for three more episodes. Great. Can we just get it on with it? So, you know, I'm good with that. And I looked at this, the standalones. I didn't really think a whole lot to it. I think the dinosaur one and the Power of Three were the two I liked.
Yes.
Me too.
And I really liked Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and you know, Kim did too.
Yeah.
And I've seen responses to it online. I'm like, what show were you watching?
No, that was because fun. No, that was fun. I mean, like I said, after I watched it, I mean, I asked it on here, not having seen Classic Who, but being aware of it, understanding what it was, that to me felt like, hey, what if we did a Classic Who episode, but with a budget this time?
Yeah, that felt like a Tom Baker episode.
Yeah. And I was totally fine with that. Because my whole thing is, it's like, you know, they don't all have to be crazy, wild story arcs with, you know, birdseed laid down for the fans to pick up. They could just be a romp, you know?
Yeah.
But
I'm fine with that.
I hated the Dalek episode. I hated the Western episode.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was not great because, again, I had problems with... I had questions. I mean, I was sitting there at the end going, wait a minute. And we talked about it on here, you know, why did that end up like that? What is this? What's happening?
Yeah.
So,
and the only thing I liked about the episode was the zombie Daleks, but that was about it. But other than that, I really didn't, and Jenna Coleman's appearance, which I was surprised by, genuinely surprised by the appearance of the actress playing the next companion.
Right.
Well, I have a theory about that, which I hope is right because it would make a lot of sense.
Well, there is a showy theory about that, but I don't know if that's Moffat pulling the traditional Doctor Who doctor slash future doctor or companion appearing in the series early sort of thing.
Yeah. Explain this. What is this?
Okay, so the Freema Agyeman who played Martha Jones on the show. The entire the episode the series 2 finale. She actually was a red shirt in the finale episode before she actually showed up on the series as a regular character. In the third series.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
She was a red shirt in Torchwood.
That's right.
In the finale. There was an instance where Colin Baker actually shot Peter Davidson in a cliffhanger on Doctor Who 2 years before he was actually the Doctor.
Yeah, what was that? I was reading about some actor who was going to be a companion because they had done that basically.
Yeah.
And there was some scheduling thing and they went with someone else instead. And it was someone I was very surprised by.
Nicholas Courtney actually was a separate character in a Doctor Who episode before.
Yes, he was.
Well, now, so basically what you're saying is that Law and Order actually adopted this as well. Because if you remember, like Jerry Orbach played a lawyer on Law and Order in an episode before he became one of the main guys.
All
right. Well, I had no problem on the episode per se. I like the strange Sydney Greenstreet kind of villain.
Mike McShane. That was and how good does he look? I mean, my God.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I didn't recognize him at first.
But it was kind of neat that they did this sort of Marlowe.
Yeah.
You know, type thing. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, all I could think of is, wow, what other fat man could they get other than Charles Durning? to play sort of a Sydney Green Street type character.
Yeah.
He was really good. Here's the thing. And, you know, and I wonder if people who, general people that watch the show, how long would somebody go watching a show with, you know, a family of three people? You know, because it's always Rory, Amy, and the doctor, and it's like the guests that never leave type of thing. It's like, you know, what about Bob? You know, you're it's like, when do you have alone time type of thing? I mean, I know I'm reading into it, but it's like, okay, they need to go just because they need to, you know, be together as a couple.
Well, the other thing I thought of, and I kind of thought of this, especially when they were doing the, oh, well, can we go home? Our neighbors are going to start asking questions about us aging. You know what? Right. If you don't want to be there, just go home.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it's one of those things, like, it's like what my main problem with Star Trek The Next Generation. It's like you're having meetings and that thing outside the window, that's bait. You should be out there with that.
Yeah.
Instead of having conference meetings about what you should do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see it. I mean, it's sort of weird. It's like, oh, I'm wearing, you know, the instant aging thing is wearing glasses. I had to laugh at that. It's like, I wear reading glasses.
I actually thought that the whole thing where they were kind of subtly trying to make them look older was actually a nice touch, and they hadn't quite done that before. So I thought, that's a nice touch.
It is. And the thing is to me, it was nice because, okay, they traveled with him. Who knows how long?
Yeah.
Right.
Now it's time.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15.
Honestly, they're probably comfortable that they could leave him.
And that was the other thing. It was just
and I
like,
was fine with that. And honestly, the thing I really got teared up was actually the ending. You know, okay, to me, okay, well, good. Even though they were in a different time zone, they lived till they were 80-something. I'm fine with that.
And the point of him not going back is sort of the thing of, well, you'd kind of talked about in the previous episode about, you know, the point at which you're leaving.
Yeah.
So I kind of looked at that as they've made their choice.
But she gave him an out. Hold on. She gave him an out of saying, you could visit me when I was a child to tell me about this stuff instead of letting her become the screwed up kid.
I thought
little bit of a nice gesture that she gave him. That little, yes, you can still visit me, but it's way before.
I thought that was the suggestion for Amy reminding the doctor to go back and get her as a kid.
In the letter, it was pretty much to tell her what she's going to do, not necessarily get her and
because that's already happened.
Because there was a bit where there were a lot of doctors in that area around that time, that evening. So it's I don't know if that's where they were going with it, but there was certainly a hint that there were at least that the doctor, at least one of the doctors that showed back up that night, might not have been one of the doctors we were thinking.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if it was Hartnell that went?
Yeah,
that would be, oh little girl, yeah, that would have been awesome.
Well,
shut up, Swilly Cough.
Man.
I will say this. I thought they were going to use in the sixth series a larger version of one of my favorite tricks from the fifth series, which was the bit with the where basically she couldn't see, and the doctor came back.
Yeah.
Yes, where the doctor came back to talk to her, but it was the doctor on his way back through.
Yeah.
That to me was just like one of the. I was like, "Oh my god, that's fucking genius!" And I was like,
"There's the bit at the end of Big Bang where he's
basically he's going back through time and but setting
separate from that. There's this bit where at some point a doctor shows up and puts Amy to bed.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm thinking they put that in there. So you think it's the doctor that's flashing back or forwards or whatever with the vortex manipulator, but he didn't have a fez on.
Right.
So,
no, that makes sense. And I like that.
I like the hint that in the end, Amy's, the note in the afterword is actually Amy reminding him to go back.
Hmm.
Yes.
Well, and put her to bed because he's already actually gotten her, because otherwise she wouldn't be there.
Well, because there's the whole thing with, you know, don't tell people future events because then you have to go do them.
Right, so. Right. No, that makes sense. But and Rox, I would just say in defense of the whole, you're fine with them going to another time period and living into their 80s. That's like your dream goal of life. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you've got, like, you know, at least an Indiegogo fundraising thing to try to make that happen. So,
let's just be honest for a moment. How far back did they go? What, 30 years? To live old? What just put them back in the 60s at least?
No, how old were they when they left?
Now they were in 2000 and they were in the present.
Right.
We're back in the graveyard in the present. So if they're only being sent back 30 years. If we think that's what's happened.
But if that's the case, then there's no, I can't go get them.
Well, yeah. They can't go get them because they're fixed points in time. If they're sent back.
You're
supposed to die before you disappear. If you're supposed to die like the day or something before you disappear.
Well, the two things I'll say about that are, one, I've seen enough of this show to know that basically fixed point in time means plot point that we want to, like, actually stick a pin in for the moment. I mean, it's like Marvel and Death with time travel, this thing.
And they even kind of stick the pin to it where River says, I'm supposed to get the novel to Amy, so for her to publish it.
Right.
But they never explain how she's going to do, which I think is the time risk thing she has.
Yeah, well, she really set that up. Like, well, Rob, I will say she did sort of set that up by basically saying that the vortex manipulator bracelet thing is easier to handle than the TARDIS, so she can go back.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me.
Send her back to undo everything.
No, I know. And Rob, that's my point, is that you could basically, even if you couldn't go back to that fixed point, like I said, you simply go before Paradox Building went away and fix everything.
Well, the other thing I was thinking of is, can't Rory and Amy just get their ass to Boston?
Yeah.
Well, the problem was that Tuffy, they said, please come to Boston, and they said no.
Oh.
Sorry. Rob, you can fist punch it later.
No, the thing that drives me nuts is it would have been a much more interesting ending if they would have ended it with Rory saying, run, and then Amy says, I'm running with them, and then they're just running all the time. I mean, that would have been much more clever, because then they could actually have brought them back if they chose to. Or if they want to do audios, they could set that up. And it sort of leaves a sort of tragic, like, you know, they're always going to live their life on the run, looking over their shoulders. I mean, to me, it's far more scary than jumping off a building, is running around the world knowing you can't be in a city. You have to go to a place where there aren't statues, you know, or someplace. I mean,
well, you got to be careful because
the doctor can't take them to that. Whatever planet he took the fucking dinosaurs to, he can't take the ponds there and hide them.
Well,
I mean,
the problem with that, Rob, is, I mean, then you get into the whole JSA fighting Ragnarok business.
Yeah.
In that there are certain characters where you're just like, you know, my whole thing is like, there's certain characters that you don't want to do that to. And now let me just throw this out here. Is that I'm not saying that I wanted the pawns to stick around, because I know Rox, you and Tuffley are like, well, it was time for them to go. I agree. Because remember, I'm the one who thought they should have gone earlier, because it was about, they were pushing the envelope of when it made sense for them as characters to be running around with this guy. But I'm just like, it's just, you need to handle how they go in a particular way. And I mean, this is the first companions I've seen go. So, I mean, so I don't have the context of, oh, well, it wasn't as bad as, you know, that green ferret that he launched in a catapult. But now, so that all being said, I will
say
this.
Hartnell and the Green Ferret, seriously, you should check that out on DVD.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It is on Netflix. I will say this. Now I have, based on this, I've told Rob, spoilers are off. It is now a show that I will catch up to. You know, it's not going to be like the week of, oh, fuck, get the episode. Ah! So I've backed off of this show.
You say that now. We'll check back at Christmas.
No. But here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to say is I will say I'm not going away completely because, I mean, I look at this and not only are they trying to get me back by having Madame Astra, right? That's her, the Silurian detective chick.
Oh, yeah, she's back.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to Wikipedia, she's like in three more episodes beyond that.
Yeah.
So I fucking dig that. You have a Neil Gaiman episode coming up, and you have two episodes by Neil Cross.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
those are in the next half of the series.
Yeah. So no, trust me, I'll watch.
Not the Neil one, I don't think.
No, according to Wikipedia, it's episode 13 of this one. So, episode 12, really. Because they're counting
and Moffat has to write the last one.
Yes, that's true. But okay. Do you guys want to hear my theory about the companion?
Sure.
The companion is? All right. Here's my thing. Is that first of all, I think that having her as a main character in the Asylum of the Daleks is a hell of a lot different than having her as like this character in the background that we can kill. I don't think audiences are going to go for that. I'm her cousin. I think people will just barf. I mean, I would.
Well, that's what they did with Martha, but fewer people are watching then.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing is you've got more eyes on this. Here's what I think and what I think would make a hell of a lot of sense. They've already established that the Osmond character is smart as shit, right? She's done some stuff that even the doctor was like, how the fuck did you do that? You can't tell me that she wouldn't have been able to figure out a way to take her consciousness and back it up somewhere and get it out of there. So my thought was take herself. She's uploaded somewhere and put her into, a teleselector. What do they call those? The ships that transform their people. What are those? The teleselector, something. Whatever the Deus Ex Machina from the last series was that was really fucking lame, that one. You basically pay that off with, oh, well, I meant to have this device created so that basically I could put that's the companion. She is the ship. She doesn't need anyone running it. She's basically uploaded herself into the ship. And then you've got, cause what they've said was, and this is what I heard through you, Rob, is that Moffat said they're changing it up a bit. So to give him a companion that's not actually human anymore physically and is smart in those ways and can basically have her own set of abilities would be a direct change up. Now, not only that, but it also serves the story in that I know that, you know, I've heard that basically the doctor is, you know, I mean, he's sociopathic. He's a complete maniac, but even he is getting worn out with the whole I fuck people up thing. And I point to the thing where he says to the TARDIS, show me someone I haven't fucked up yet. And the only thing it could come up with is Amelia, right? So, and part of the reason why I think he was trying to travel alone was because that he understands that there is a lot of jeopardy and he actually cared about Amy and Rory. So I can see him being torn between traveling alone because everyone's told him not to and basically putting people in jeopardy. And running across somebody who basically says, listen, it's going to be really hard to destroy me. I'm backed up to tape. And so as a result of that, he can not only deal with, hey, I've got a traveling companion. I've made all my family happy, but it's somebody who it's going to be really hard to damage because of the way she's set up. Now, I have probably thought way too much about that. But to me,
I have two thoughts about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have two thoughts about this because we know Daleks can time shift. She probably figured out how to do that.
Right. Okay.
So if it's a time travel thing, then yeah, that's what it could be. The other thing is if it's the same actress, but if it's not the same character, you could actually use that in story as well, because we already figured out that the Doctor is feeling somewhat guilty about this whole Amy Rory thing.
Right.
So maybe he – because she also, you know, the whole thing about remember me something. So he kind of – if he's under the impression that he thinks it's her but isn't her.
Hmm.
That's more of an emotional thing, but
– right.
Well, or at least it's initial enough for him to take her with him, and then the other shit happens.
Yeah. I think the one thing that they're probably not going to do is do the whole, oh, it's the same character, but he like go, because I read somewhere, oh, he's going to go back in time and get her before she goes.
No.
I don't think that's going to make any sense, because even she would still wind up there, and we've already got a character where we know the ending. So.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I think what's going to get interesting is, well, one good point from before.
Yeah.
The problem I had with the ending and fixed points in time is that Queen Nefertiti is a fixed point in space and time.
Yeah.
And you took her to 1909, which, you know, if Rox and I can't go to 1909, neither can you. So,
but here's the thing, though.
The graves, so come on. Points.
Well, isn't the whole thing that basically Nefertiti, she just sort of dropped off of the history books? They don't actually have a tomb of Nefertiti or something.
I think
I think
you're
so,
not a fixed point in time if you don't have a tomb.
Yeah, I guess so. But I did like the bit in Power of Three where the Doctor talks to Brian, or is it in the finale where he says, "Some left, some were left, some died." I thought that were nice. I thought that was really nice.
That was the last episode where he talks to Brian about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that he is going to tie that in somehow with this whole new companion, which the thing that's going to be interesting about her is, again, there's the whole – remember how people got stored in Silence in the Library?
Yeah.
So they very easily could have a body somewhere and then just – put the consciousness back in it. There's all kinds of, or, you know, I think what makes the most sense is that it sounds like she's encased in the Dalek. From the way I understand it, she is encased in the Dalek, all the crap hooked up in her, right?
Right.
And we know that the Daleks have the ability to time travel.
Yes.
So I think it's very easy for her to hack into some sort of Dalek transmat beam. And it zaps her into where she ends up. I almost gave it away. Sorry. So I think you're close, Rich. But again, just having a whole new companion with a whole new dynamic, and the fact that it's gonna be very similar to when we had Turlough in the TARDIS, and that apparently not only is she in many ways smarter than the Doctor with some things, but she's also there's things she doesn't tell him, and that she has her own agenda. And I think having that sort of be tied into it could actually be really cool.
I would agree. Yeah, I just looked up. Apparently, they don't know how Nefertiti died, and there have been a couple of mummies that were theorized to be her, but they've never found an actual burial place or a mummy.
So, yeah, she's actually okay. You can't be a fixed point in time if you don't have your own tomb.
And look at it.
What makes me the most hopeful about the next series is that, one, it's the 50th. So I'd like to think that I didn't hate the last episode. I thought there was some really great stuff in it. It's just, it really needed an extra act, a third act, sort of. It was sort of like first act, second or third crunch together.
I thought it was fine the way it was, just for me. Just because you get one ending where you basically get two endings. You get the ending where Amy and Rory figure it out themselves. And as we've all learned from the new series, the moment the companion gets to solve it themselves, they have to leave. So now, I kind of appreciated that because he kept that going.
Now, the other question I have is, when you guys were talking to Lee, did she cry?
No.
We never got, we didn't approach it at all.
Okay.
So, she was very angry about Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
Ironically, she's upset about something with the number 13 in it. Anyway.
Nice.
I think it's interesting that they have a whole new dimension with the show, and a whole, I mean, it's almost like they've wiped the slate clean again completely for the 50th. I mean, we got a little bit of nostalgia out of the way. We tied up some loose ends. We got some really cool stuff. I like the way they sort of let us know the Doctor doesn't exist in any records without flogging us over the head with it. I really liked, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and I really liked Power 3. They did some visual effects stuff in Power 3 that I thought was really cool, just in the way that they, sometimes it looked like a photo album, and just, I liked how that episode felt,
and I thought she was great
as the Brigadier's daughter.
I think they blew more of the budget on Power of Three than they did the New York episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is the thing about the New York episode, most of it was set anyway. So you had filming in Central Park mainly.
Central Park and Times Square.
And that's it.
You had like two or three exterior scenes, but then the rest of it is completely on set.
Right. Now, if you really, really want to nerd out on this stuff, and there's a website, you just do a search, Doctor Who filming locations, and if you go to it, and you pick up, if you click on season 7, it'll tell you for every episode where they filmed it. So you'll be able to see what parts of Angels in Manhattan got filmed in Manhattan.
I saw one of the shorts where they were talking about filming the scene where the Doctor reads the letter, and... Yeah. The fact that they had her sitting there reading the letter, but they couldn't actually have her hold the actual page of the book because they were afraid the onlookers would take a shot at it and it would spoil everything.
Yeah. So the other thing I thought, and I know it's a little bit off base, which you didn't see the BBC America special, did you? The Doctor Who in the USA?
No.
Okay. Did anybody else see it?
No, I don't like the specials.
No, I don't either. Here's the thing, though. Congratulations to BBC America for one thing, right? The Doctor Who in the USA special, and I'm going to pick these off and talk to you and go, wow, but, or Rockwell. One, they talked about Hartnell being in Manhattan in the chase, and they showed a video of it, and they interviewed Peter Purvis, right? Then, whenever BBC America does a Doctor Who special, of course it means you have no idea who the fuck these people are that they're talking to and what they have to do with Doctor Who, and then you get Chris Hardwick, right? This one, they had none of them. They had David Tennant, they had Noel Clark, they had, you know, actual people that were in. The David Tennant stuff for this was great because they showed behind-the-scenes footage of him when he was filming Angels in our Daleks in Manhattan, talking about, oh, I thought I was going to go to Manhattan, and they sent this crew instead to go film 3 shots, and that was it, you know? For those BBC America specials, it was actually really good. And it actually had people from the show. Oh, my God. So that was actually kind of interesting. And I can't believe they did it. Now, Widge, I will say what you might want to do is go back and watch the Christopher Eccleston Dalek story just to see it.
Okay.
I think you'd like that.
They did mention that one in it, didn't they?
They mentioned that one, and they talked about that one. They're like, Doctor Who, when he goes to the U.S., only lands in Utah or New York or the Wild West.
Oh, I didn't. I should have realized this. I did not realize that Stewart, the new head of UNIT, is a Redgrave.
Yeah.
Wow. God damn. Yeah. Niece of Vanessa and Lynn and cousin of Jolie Richardson and cousin of Natasha Richardson.
Do we know if UNIT's coming back later in the series?
I think this season, I don't know if we're going to see her because a lot of stories are set off of Earth.
Yeah, because I don't think they would have gone to the trouble of casting her or making that.
They're in the past. They're doing I think they're going to bring UNIT back for the 50th.
Yeah, I figure they are.
But, you know, I like the fact that they sort of, the way they brought UNIT back. And to me, the most interesting thing is that by her saying that, what they didn't say that was interesting, by her saying that she used science to bring UNIT around, it tells me two things. One, they sort of are trying to make Unit as contemporary as the show in case they want to use it going forward or even spin it off. And two, it's a death knell for Torchwood. Because in theory, if you've got Unit doing science and military and alien investigation stuff, again, you don't really need Torchwood.
Right. Rob. Yes, I've always said that.
Rob.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
Rob, Miracle now, Day was the death knell of Torchwood.
I know. But I mean officially.
So, wasn't Torchwood the death knell of Torchwood?
Yes.
Yes, it was. But in terms of, they're still off the fans. Like, you know, they'll always say, when is Torchwood coming back? When is it coming? And this, you know, shut up now. It's over.
Basically, it's like, oh, Torchwood. Oh, they'll fuck it over and kill themselves anyway.
No, wait, let me just say this, because I know Mr. Barrowman listens. So, but we love him.
No, yeah. John, if you're listening, we love the hell out of you. It's just the show you were on was occasionally mostly, yeah, okay, just bad. Sorry.
Boy, he comes after you. I don't know if I'm getting there.
I'm just saying, dude, I hope Arrow's better. I'm just saying.
Stuffly, I just wish, I think he's going to be great in Arrow. It's a completely different thing. I wish you could have been there when I walked up behind the stage, behind, you know, backstage to his panel. So, I listened to your podcast. You're a big fan. I just wish someone could have seen the look on the sheer torment on my face. I said,
For the record, I did say Children of Earth was awesome, and I liked it.
Children of Earth was really great, yes.
Yeah.
Now, Rox, I have a crazy, insane question.
Yes.
How hard would it be to make a bunch of black cubes for Dragon Con?
Now, you know...
Wait a minute, what?
We actually did post. Cosette came up with instructions for how to do that on the
sheet.
Because we can put little mini-ads for the scene inside cubes and leave them all over the convention.
The derelict slow invasion.
That's right. We can do that.
Why?
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, we should probably at this point do the introductions from last week since we didn't actually do them. That means, Tuffley, you're Lee.
Wait, does that mean I have to get off the call?
No, that just means you're playing the part of Lee this evening.
Okay.
And we'll do that very quickly, and then we should probably move into recommendations
What is the exact pitch I should say? Oh my God, I'm so drunk now.
No,
sounds good.
Toughly, what you should do is just when I introduce you, just snore. I think that'll be fine.
Okay.
Okay, good. All right, so we'll do. I love you, Lee. Please don't hurt my shins. Yeah.
Let's just do the panels.
Oh. God, we're all going to die. She and Barrowman are going to kill us. All right, so we'll do introductions and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Episode of Weekend Justice here on needcoffee.com, needcoffee.com podcast. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'll endeavor to introduce them. Going from my right to your left, we have Rox Spazhouse with us. Hi, Rox.
Sup.
Sup. We also have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Sup.
Sup. Also, manning the board is John Boutel for the Neat Geek. Hi, John.
Lee, what else have you got?
Yes, which brings us to... Hello, Lee! What?
Ooh, that's good.
I was about to say, Tuffley, was that supposed to be the Statue of Liberty sneaking up on us?
No, that was supposed to be Lee hitting her head on the mic.
Yeah, I don't believe the Statue of Liberty could actually sneak up on anyone, but yeah.
I thought that would be an awesome Reese's commercial.
Two great tastes that taste great together. Oh my god. Alright, so
and
yes.
I'm thinking of Ghostbusters 2 because there is no Ghostbusters 2.
There's no Ghostbusters 2.
Just like there isn't a Highlander 2.
That's right, just remember. And the best way to do it is to say it like Charlton Heston in I Am Legend. There is no Ghostbusters 2! Just like that. And Anthony Zerba agrees. Alright.
9 out of 10 Anthony Zerbas agree.
What's that?
9 out of 10 Anthony Zerbas agree.
You know what? 9 out of 10 Anthony Zerbas is my new ska band.
So I might have missed this part, but who else has seen Looper?
Me! Oh, yes, me!
Yes, hi. Yes, hello.
Okay, so yeah, I've got, in fact, my way home is rendered. I have to try to get it up tonight.
I was I've been waiting before I said anything to you on email about Looper.
Okay, all right. So let's talk about Looper real quick so we can get out of the way. Fucking loved it. You were absolutely right. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like MVP for this year between this and Dark Knight. What the fuck, man? And
although Bruce Willis was really, really good.
Oh, no. That's why I said in my review. Bruce Willis.
He had Moonrise Kingdom, too. So he's got two good movies, too.
Yeah.
But it's like Bruce Willis was acting Bruce Willis and not just I'm blowing shit up Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was very happy with that. Daniels was great. I mean, it's so nice to see him in, you know, in something where he's getting to actually do something.
Although, can I just say there is a certain scene near the end of the film where I leaned over to Kim and said, that's what he gets for the newsroom.
Wow. I know what you're talking about. And wow, sir. When I dissected it in my own head, which took a little while, it was just a very simple story told in a very complicated but effective way.
Yeah.
And was really good. And like, as I said in the review as well, the world building on it was epic. I mean, it was,
oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Although I kind of like the fact that they pulled back on a lot of the effects. Very minimal on the effects, I thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't need it. I mean, the effects were mostly digital matte painting, you know?
Yeah.
Which was perfect. That and whatever they did to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face, because I think that was CG.
And honestly,
no, he was in makeup for 4 hours.
Yeah. No, but wait a minute, Rob. Here's the part that bugs me. Then is that I saw the trailer, and when it first came out, he had his own face, and then the second version of the trailer, he had that face. Now maybe they CG'd the trailer because it looked like because it was the same trailer, but they just made him more Willisian, or whatever you want to call it.
There are some shots of him during the China sequence.
Yeah.
Shall we say that he does look a lot more, that Gordon-Levitt does look a lot more like him than he does Bruce Willis.
Well, and maybe what they did was.
And I know some of those shots in the trailer are from the China sequence.
Maybe. Well, I mean, I have to go back on YouTube and look, I'm sure, but it's like.
Because I think the thing where he's got like the longer hair.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that's the China sequence.
But it's like there's the same trailer twice, but the second time his face was changed. Now, like I said, maybe they changed it for the trailer, but I think maybe what we also saw, Rob, was 4 hours of makeup plus some tweaking with CG.
Yeah.
Because like his eyes, where his eyes were slightly different, it seemed like, to make them more like Bruce. The thing that killed me more than anything else was the fact that, just like you said, Rob, his mannerisms were dead on.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
And here's the thing. I was kind of on board for it for, you know, time travel, Gordon Levitt, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Was not expecting, shall we say, the twist.
Which one?
Well, the one that involved the little kid.
Oh, yeah. No, I well, they left that out of the trailer. They did show you enough in the trailer so you knew something like that was happening.
But it's like one throwaway line at the beginning of the film, and then you don't think about it again, and then that happens, and you're shit.
Well, that's the part that I knew was coming. I mean, I knew that part was coming because the trailer.
Yeah.
I actually wish they had cut some more stuff out of the trailer because I was able to very quickly identify where we were going.
I actually didn't pick that off. Maybe it was the first trailer I saw and I didn't see the second one.
Yeah.
But I didn't pick that. I didn't get that from the trailer because I was completely surprised by that.
Yeah, but now the way they executed it was really good. And the fact that there was a twist beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that to me, I thought was the thing where it was like, oh, so you figured this out, did you? Well, fuck you. I mean, it's just like, oh, shit. Okay. I'm good.
Really? Did we give that one away in one of the trailers? Where here's the one we didn't give up. Go.
Yeah. That and being spoiler-free, one of the most persuasive and disturbing ways I've ever seen of using time travel to convince someone to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you both just went, is he? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fucked up. Rox, you're gonna have new ideas. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rox, you'll be excited because he's a blunderbuss.
Yay!
Blunderbuss.
Bring those back.
It works. Yeah. But yes, so there you go. Looper. See it. It's your friend. And I'm happy because it critically, it's done really well, and box office wise, it's done really well. So
I am kind of annoyed it got beat by a cartoon, but let's face it, it's October and it's going to get beat by a cartoon.
Yeah, especially a cartoon that was actually well placed on the schedule.
Yeah.
I figured this is going to be a movie that just did out of the box well the first week, and the people that got it loved it, and then it sort of would just fall away.
And I didn't realize the Transylvania Hotel movie was done by the same guy who did Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, there is that. There's that.
Yeah, I still don't care.
I still think it's a dumb film, but I think it's great that he's gone on to do something else.
I don't know. I thought the trailer was at least funny in part, so maybe it's an entertaining dumb film, which I'm fine because kids need that. God knows we had plenty of entertaining dumb things.
But yeah, the guy who did Dexter's Lab and Samurai Jack is the guy who did the Transylvania Hotel movie. Which, dear God, if that means if we get some sort of new Samurai Jack thing ever, that would be great. But I know that the expiration date already passed on that, but whatever. It'd be nice.
We can do some Samurai Jack audios with Tom Baker.
That would be awesome.
All right, so we got Looper out of the way. I think we're recommending Looper. Beyond that, who wants to recommend things? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go, Tuffling.
So, a couple of new records. We'll start with Gossamer from Passion Pit. This has been out for a couple of months, but we just got around to getting it. Really nice record. The other thing that I was going to recommend was Amy Mann's new album called Charmer, which is also quite good.
Okay.
And the other record that I was going to recommend is the I don't know how to put this. It is a new record from Red Cross. It's called Researching the Blues, but it involves a previous version of the band. Apparently, there was a reunion of a lineup of an earlier record that actually recorded a new album, and they've released it. So anyway, it's a previous incarnation of Red Cross that released a new album called Researching the Blues, which is just really loud and awesome and wonderful. And then I think you guys mentioned this on Music Monday, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, that John Spencer's Blues Explosion album, Meat and Bone, that's pretty tasty. So I'll throw that out there. And, I believe that's going to be it for now. Ding.
Cool. Thank you, Tuffling. All right. Who's next?
I'll go. I picked up a Barnes & Noble Nook with glow light.
Oh.
Very nice. Only because it's sort of funny. All my friends are like, you know, because we all have iPads, but sometimes when you're reading for long periods of time, the iPad gets heavy. And the older you get, sometimes the glare. So I picked one up.
And I don't know if the screen just bothers me a little bit if I'm reading it for a while.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, because I read like Stephen King's 11, what is it? The
11?
Yeah.
Thing?
And I think, yeah, I was getting like a little bit of eye strain on it. And I would even like get rid, you know, have the dim as much lighting on it as possible. So
what's great about an e-reader, and I've noticed this because I've played around with Kim's Kindle a bit, and just comparing between reading off that and reading off my my Fire, the great thing about it is that, you know, it is easier on the eyes, especially if your job involves staring at computer screens.
Yeah,
computer screens for a large amount of time.
Yes,
during the day. And you know, all the flat screen TVs now are LCD screens. So it's, you know, you're basically staring at the same type of screen all day. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to look at an e-reader, especially one like what is that? The Nook?
Yeah.
The
Nook. I got the glow light one.
And, they're even got a, there's a Kindle that they're coming out with that has basically the paper white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The paper white's coming out.
It was released. It was released yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, what's really nice about those is because the contrast is really easy on the eyes, and it's not, especially if you're doing a lot of reading off LCD screens all day, it does kind of help your eyes a bit.
Well, the thing is, I always had a problem with iBooks is, A, I always hated that bookshelf because I didn't like pine. You know, the virtual bookshelf thing. It's like, can't we just change it? I type in,
perhaps,
you know, the
birch
reviews. The bookshelf looks like it should be held up with cinder blocks on the side.
You know, Rox, that's why I agree with you. I understand that. That's why I modded my Fire.
Okay. So there's that. Now, there was an app called Stanza, and apparently they haven't upgraded that. Now, I liked Stanza because you can actually create your own color of ink. So I actually, for a long time, I actually came up with like a blue-gray ink color for the text and a sort of a buff with a little bit of blue in the paper color. It was really cool that you can do this because old paperbacks, either they start yellowing or they start bluing, depending on how much acid is in the paper. If you want to know more, please call Help Me Rocks about this at 404-382-0769.
Blammo.
So anyway, I came up with a color that was really easy on the eyes. Unfortunately, Stanza never really they haven't been updating. So
you can still use it to convert stuff to EPUB, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, basic EPUB. Some of the format specific stuff went away.
Yeah. Yeah. But, anyway, I switched over, bought this, and I like it a lot. And it is easier on the eyes. I wish too they would offer a little bit more fonts. Cause there is a thing, you know, the cool thing about like reading the Harry Potter books is at the end, you know, at the back, they would say, oh, you know, this was set in Galliard and this and that. I mean, there is an art form to setting books in certain typefaces, you know, and getting the sort of, and all the e-readers do this too. It's like we have a core set of, I mean, who really wants to read a book in Trebuchet? I mean, it's just, it's okay.
Well, I think the Kindles have the option of, and I don't know if this is the same thing with the Nooks, but you have the option of changing it to any font you want.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Darn. And I think you could, I think you could root it and do it that way. So I'm going to toy around with that over the weekend so that you can actually make it into a, sort of an Android tablet of sorts. You can actually root your Nook. So anyway, the reason I also picked it up is
jailbreak for you.
I know. Is I actually picked up the J.K. Rowling Casual Vacancy book.
How is that?
It is actually pretty good. Now, I know, like, the New York Times gave it a crappy review, and a lot of her fans gave it sort of a not great review. They're like, oh, you know, why is there all this swearing and sex and this? And I think Facebook, it's
because JK watched Torchwood.
Right. Well, too, this is all the stuff we wanted in Harry Potter. I hate to say this. How much fan fiction has been generated and slash fic has been generated from Harry Potter alone? This is what she's pandering to her audience in a way. It takes place in a little village. I compare it to Midsummer Murder without really the murder, Hot Fuzz, Vicar of Dibley, and The Rev. She really knows how to write horrible characters, you know, just despicable type of people. And it's kind of neat. It's kind of like a British Peyton Place as well. Now, you know how we've always discussed about Stephen King taking on, Dolores Claiborne?
Right.
She has done this with some of some of the characters in this book, like of actually writing somebody's dialogue the way we would watch on a Brit show, somebody from like the East End or something. She's actually written their dialogue as such. So I give her kudos for that. I give her kudos for this book in general, because I know I bitched about it a couple years ago about her, you know, writing again and not.
Well, here's the thing with that is she really, really didn't have to.
No.
She could like not do anything else and just be done.
But apparently in a news article or an interview is some of the instances in the book are autobiographical, apparently, in nature. She doesn't say which parts. But I mean, we all know.
Oh, but that's going to be an internet guessing game, isn't
it?
Yeah,
there you go. So,
What JK didn't do. Go.
But it shows that whole snobbishness, you know, like keeping up appearances and stuff that we've always watched, you know, as Anglophiles type of thing. I think it's like a, I don't know on how many Americans are really going to delve into this because, you know, Harry Potter was British, but this is really, really British. You know, that whole, I mean, how many people really watch The Vicar of Dibley and that weird small, because it's not even a full city or a small village. It's less than that because it's one of those villages that does not have a mayor. It's run by a council. So it's even smaller than a typical village. So, you know, people getting into other people's businesses, you know, it's what people do.
So it's sort of good and soapy in that way.
It's very soapy. I'm already halfway through and I just started reading it really like Saturday afternoon.
And it's called Casual Vacancy. Is that what it's
Casual
called?
Casual Vacancy. Because what happens is a guy drops dead. He's part of the council. And the problem is his, tenure as a councilman is like another 3 years. So they have to fill a void without the general election for the next 3 years. So, you know, and there's like parcel of land that's involved. So, you know, they want to get somebody in there, two parties to either throw the vote type of thing about this parcel of land. So. It's good. I think it's very solid. It's a solid book. I mean, it's gotten me hooked on it. And,
so Rox, you're saying they're fighting over huge tracts of land.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and a methadone clinic.
Huge tracts of land and a methadone clinic.
That's right. I mean, what else?
Huge tracts of land. Stay for the methadone clinic.
It's a small village of Boardwalk.
That's on the travel brochure.
Without murder. It's Boardwalk Empire in a small village. Done.
All right. Thank you, Rox. All right, Rob, what have you got?
Did he leave?
Rob, you still there?
Rob?
All right. Maybe
back,
I'll come.
Rob, come well, back.
While we're waiting on Rob, John, what have you got?
No, I'm here.
Oh. Hi.
No, you kept fading in and out. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I do that. It's a magic trick. It's great at parties.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Because you're a magic man, Wedge.
Magic man.
Well.
Okay. I know Tuffley talked about this earlier, but I wanted to recommend the David Byrne St. Vincent record again. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah.
Love the
yeah.
Of course. No.
I wouldn't mind not talking about that again. Go ahead.
It's really, really great. It's yes. Just, you can hear David Byrne sort of, half of it's like a David Byrne record, half of it's a St. Vincent record, and you almost want to wonder what it was like in the room when they decided how the hell they were going to make that.
It really feels like a Talking Heads record. It really
it's just, yeah, and plus David Byrne is so finicky to work with. The fact he's collaborating with anyone is pretty interesting. But it's really great, so I do want to recommend that. I also want to recommend the new Matt and Kim record, Lightning. It's really poppy. It's really sort of just a fun sort of go-out record, if you did, you know, or getting ready to go out record. I want to recommend that. And then the new EP, End of Days, by Dum Dum Girls.
Oh,
even though it's like
that's
four
nice.
Or five songs. They do a cover of Strawberry Switchblade, which is awesome. They're an old sort of new wavy punky band from the 80s that I thought was way too obscure for anyone over here to love. But yes, it's very great. I highly recommend that. It's just pretty great. And then I do want to recommend, out on DVD now. Well, it's not for a while, but I'm totally hooked on it because I've been doing some, stuff for work on this, but on this particular thing. But, Hell on Wheels season one is out on DVD. And at first I thought it was going to be kind of stupid because I'm like, really? It's got Common. It's got all this, but I'm like, okay, Cole Meany's in it. And for the most part, he's really solid in everything he is that he's in. But in this particular series, there's a guy who plays the Swede who's just great in it.
Yeah.
And Cole Meany is just so, one of the things that's awesome is watching Cole Meany be a villain. He's just obviously having so much fun that it really makes it worth watching.
It does take a couple of episodes to get going, though.
Yeah.
Sort of like a train starting.
You've got to stick with it. You've got to at least get to the third episode, and then it starts to kind of go.
Yeah. But I really like it a lot. I do want to recommend that. And then I also want to recommend, just came out this week, Adrian Tomine, who did a bunch of the Optic Nerve comics and some other things, and I didn't even know it was coming out, I just saw it on the shelf. They finally put together a compilation of his New Yorker magazine covers and cartoons.
Ooh.
Called New York Drawings. And I'm really excited about it. It's really good. It's one of the last times I saw a book on site and picked it up just right away. And it's great. The drawings are great. His art style's great. His sense of irony and these sort of human moments are great. And I just think he's awesome. I'll even overlook the fact he won't do a flyer for my show. But, it's just great. I mean, his stuff for the New Yorker, one of the things I used to love about getting New Yorker every week was seeing Adrian Tomine covers. And now it's like, literally, I don't have to buy the magazine anymore if I don't want the magazine. Because the problem with the New Yorker, it's hit and miss. You either get it and you get it and you're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? The problem we don't have with our zine. So,
that's right.
But it's really good. So I do want to recommend strongly New York Drawings by Adrian Tomine. And if you've never seen any of his artwork, track it down. All the Optic Nerve stuff is just really, really nice. And, you know, if you read comics, it's a nice break, too, as well. From all
But is Art Spiegelman still editor of the comic section for the New Yorker?
I think he is.
I heard it can be really difficult.
Yeah, I kind of get that vibe, you know?
You know, that people who have submitted stuff beforehand, it's like he makes people jump and stuff. I mean,
now,
it's...
Here's,
I mean, I don't even think he's really done anything recently.
No, I think his wife is editing the
Yeah, I mentioned that last week. She is editing that. I mean, she was behind Raw for years.
Yeah.
I liked that. Yeah. So, but.
Yeah, was it
but
you,
yeah.
I talked about this with someone, and maybe it was you, but was it you that thought it was weird that Chris Ware wasn't in it?
Yeah.
Was that you? Okay, yes. Never mind.
Only because I really didn't see anything new coming out from him this year. So I guess that's worth looking into to see what he's doing. Yeah. You know? Because normally there's always some little bit. And normally he's got an Acme, you know, either a chalky white coming out or something.
Acme novelty didn't he sort of whittle that down? Is that
yeah,
still
he's been doing
or?
He's been doing the series though. Hold on a minute. Hold on.
Because I think he's been he let Acme go to like yearly installments, and then I think he didn't even it didn't even come out with that. So I wasn't even sure.
She's back.
The last Acme novelty is 20 that I've got.
And when was that?
I'm looking. 2010.
Okay, yeah.
And normally it's like one a year.
Yeah.
So, and it's a good one. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Acme novelty's usually pretty good. He's done like one or two other things that are kind of split offs of that I didn't really like, but those are typically pretty good.
Oh, I know. It's like the collector and his friend. Those are creepy. It's like, I know people like that. I don't want to. But I mean, it's just like, oh yeah. I mean, it's sort of funny that he knows, these type of people and, you know, it's funny and yet not. And the thing is I've gotten in my hands, number 20 and here the production on these things, it's got a cloth cover, people. I mean, he's really good about production and stuff. This is a great book. So I would recommend Acme Novelty number 20, Lint. It's good.
Even the addition of the comics, the editor's comic collection, that those yearly things that come out.
Yeah.
The year he did it, there was a limited edition with a cloth cover on it that he designed.
I actually have that one.
Yeah.
Yes. I was cheap this year, and I actually got an advanced reader copy. So I didn't buy a hard copy this year. So, but, the funny thing is I was at a thing where the year that Neil Gaiman, which was what, 2 years ago, that he edited, and it was so funny that he was fussing about the Linda Barry one. It was so funny, but he was so polite about it. But he was just saying on how much he didn't like it. So, but anyway.
Okay.
Oh, Rob, it's your turn still.
Yeah,
sorry.
Rob.
What else you got? No, that was it. I was. Okay. Oh, and obviously, if you have not seen Looper yet,
yes.
I mean, it's far. I mean, I had to tone down how much I liked it last week because I didn't want. One, I didn't want to spoil anything, and two, I didn't want to build it up too much for Widge. But it's just been a long time. I would say it's since Batman and the last two Nolan movies. It's probably the last time I've just been to a movie, just sat in a theater and chewed it all in and thought it was great. So I do recommend it. And then I saw, in case you were wondering, I saw Sleepwalk With Me, which is interestingly melancholy.
That's the Mike Birbiglia one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which has these sort of odd little moments in it that make it a really great film, and then these other sort of disastrous moments that just are tragedy. So I do kind of think there's something that people may want to see, and then I'm done.
All right, cool. Thank you, Rob. All right, John, we are back to you. What do you got?
Google Nexus 7. I don't think you can buy it on Amazon. But buy it. And if I was to buy it on Amazon, where would I buy it through?
Wow.
Your enthusiasm is amazing, John.
It is. Isn't
like
it?
Ben Stein.
Did the Google Nexus 7 hypnotize you? Is that what your problem is?
That's a front-facing camera on the Nexus.
Oh, God. Anyway.
John sounds like he's either sick or he's trying to get Aaron Moran to, like, not move into his house.
What? Nothing. Anyway.
Because so, Chachi already lives there.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you can apparently get the Google Nexus 7 tablet on Amazon, so there you go. If you're in the mood for a tablet, because apparently everybody's doing tablets.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, well, there you go.
It
was 16 gig. What's that?
Was? Because I checked and it wasn't.
Yeah, it's right there.
When I bought, well, sorry.
Which is interesting. Which is interesting because you can put Jelly Bean in an old Kindle Fire if you want.
Yeah, John, it's selling here for, what is it, $149.95. That's what you paid, right?
What? Hold on. Hold on. No, that's not what I paid. Nexus 7.
Google, how could you? You lied to me.
No, see, it says $275.
I know, I'm fucking with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's the 16 gig version is like $249 at a.
You know, he was more enthusiastic about Amazon's rejection of the price than
the actual phone or the tablet. Actual, whatever the fuck the it is. Tablet. The device. The Etch-a-Sketch, the abacus, whatever it is. The Turing machine, whatever it is. Anyway.
It's awesome. Buy it.
Oh, I'm tired. All right. So, yes.
It comes in Soylent Green.
John is absolutely right. You can go to Amazon and purchase things, including the Google Nexus 7.
But you're going to pay way more than what it would be.
No. What? And believe me, trust me, I am the first person to say, if you can find a better deal elsewhere, for fuck's sake, take it. Which is why I'm constantly pointing people to, like, you know, no, buy the $8 MP3 album. Why would you go buy the $17 CD? But that's just me. So anyway, but yes, you can go to needcoffee.com/Amazon. And that will take you to the front page of Amazon like you went to the front page of Amazon without going anywhere else. And but the magical thing that happens is that anything you purchase during that session, we get kickbacks for. Doesn't matter how big, how small, how wide, whatever it is. It all helps and helps pay for stuff like the server.
Well, here in Florida, we're concerned with length, not girth. So,
yes. Well, size does matter. So
call back to hour two. One. 30 minutes. Sorry, Widge.
That's okay. what the fuck? All right. So, yes, that all being said, most of these things can be found on Amazon, except for the Google Nexus 7, which is more expensive.
And the concept of happiness and joy. You cannot buy those from Amazon.
I have tried.
Actually, through Amazon Prime, you can at least rent it.
Well, that's good because it's instant watch and it doesn't take very long.
No, it doesn't.
Isn't happiness a stripper? So is joy.
Yes, well, never mind. Yes. No, my recommendation is I have been listening to the audiobook of the Keith Richards biography, Life, which I will say that, first of all, I am a casual Rolling Stones fan, i.e. I like all the classics. I don't delve much into recent stuff. Where, you know, in the Voodoo Lounge tour, they all were killed and brought back by Houndguns. And, I mean, it's the drummer is wearing the suit they buried him in. But anyway, that's a Voodoo Lounge. That's
Wait, they've called. Made albums since 1981?
Haven't they?
No.
Anyway, they haven't? Or are they just touring on the same damn albums?
I'm kidding. They he's screwing with you, Rich.
Well, you know what? I didn't pay $149.95 for those albums. Toughly, wait, I'll look it up on Amazon.
I'm sweeping all Rolling Stones albums after 1981 under the same column as the Ghostbusters do that doesn't exist.
I see. The Highlander Protocols. Got it.
Bridges to Babylon? What Bridges to Babylon? That didn't happen.
Bridges to Babylon 5. So, it was a 5-disc set.
Madison County Bridges to Babylon 5.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't get Oasis without Bridges to Babylon.
I don't think he gives a fuck.
Yeah.
He said that with such conviction that I believe he doesn't care. Yeah, but anyway, But so that being said, I'm just sort of intrigued by the notion of it because Keith Richards, of course, should be dead, isn't.
Does Keith read it?
What's that?
Does Keith read it? Because I've read it.
No. Well, the first 7 hours are read by Johnny Depp.
Okay.
And then a musician by the name of Joe Hurley takes over.
Okay.
And while the transition is a little jarring because Johnny Depp is reading it as Johnny Depp, Joe Hurley really is, and I need to go and find his actual voice. I can't tell if he's trying to do the character of Keith Richards or if that's actually him. But it's entertaining.
So how long is the book, the audiobook?
22.5 hours.
Okay. How much time is that is actual words and how much of it is somebody trying to slur?
No, it's actually.
Is it really 22 hours? You're kidding, right? Yes.
Okay. No. It's actually a really good listen.
That's like 5 minutes longer than this podcast tonight.
I know. But anyway, so no, it's a good book. I'm enjoying it thus far. And there's a lot of good musical stuff in there where he talks about where things came from and how he learned how to do things. And it's not all just, and then I shagged this girl. But there's some of that. But it's actually entertaining. So, anyway, so yeah, there you go. I would say the audiobook of Keith Richards' life. And I assume Tuffley is the book. Is the book as entertaining as well, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the book
now,
is. The book
well,
is
I recommend really you do though.
Yeah.
To sort of capture the full essence of bizarreness, is listen to his Terry Gross interview on NPR.
Okay.
Because she throws him all the Terry Gross questions, like, "What's your favorite song?" And he's like, "Don't ask me to pick my children," you know, or "Spice Up My Children." I mean. And he calls her love and baby and darling. And you can just tell that Terry Gross is about ready to explode because he's so like lethargic in his energy level. And he's just so slimy at parts of it. That's awesome.
That has become, I think, the holiday episode because don't they play that during the holidays now?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Well, yes, it makes like Christmas.
Yeah.
So,
which is really great.
Excellent. Well, so there you go. That is my recommendation, and go see Looper. So,
go see Looper.
Yes, we have run way over. Sorry. We will. No, that's fine. We had a lot of ground to cover. So, I will just say that we've reached a point on another episode of Weekend Justice where we should all, just like every week, say candy.
What kind of candy?
Bottom feeder candy.
Bottom feeder candy. There you go.
Bottom feeder candy? No.
Yeah.
You know, like Kits, B-Bats, that stuff you get at restaurants, that old ladies who are diabetic and, they're 88 freaking years old.
We're adults. We have jobs. We can afford the premium top shelf candy.
But there's something good and decadent about bottom feeder candy. Like,
thank you.
I think Mike and Ike are kind of like bottom feeder. Kits. Chicka sticks are. Yeah, they are. Wax lips. They're bottom feeder.
Oh, God. Ow.
Wax lips?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, those bottle, you know, those wax bottles that have the liquid in it. The nips, I think.
Oh, or what are those?
Wow, you know, it's like you are they hook you in for that. It's like you barely get 3 ounces of liquid and then you're stuck with this horrible wax. Yeah.
You know what? I've grown up, and I think I'm a candy snob. I think now that I can go buy whatever I want. I'm a bit of a snob. Wow.
All right. So, what kind of candy do you buy?
I just usually buy the Hershey stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I'll get like the Hershey stuff, and what is it? The truffle thing, the store that's in the mall with the truffles.
I don't know
what he said.
Store. Yeah,
Yeah, I always go, you know what? You can go to Publix and
Godiva.
Buy a bar.
Godiva's good too.
Yeah, they're good. You know, if you want really good chocolate and you're in New York City, you go to Touchers.
Oh yeah.
For champagne truffles. They're good. But in a pinch, a Mars bar from London is really good. And you can get those at Publix.
But not a Mars bar from Marianne Faithful.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, I'm to that part in the book. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was for you.
Thank you.
Or Thank Aero you. Bars. They're good. You can get those at Publix too. I don't buy American candy, really. Except for bottom feeder candy. Or stuff I can, you know, steal from Lee's grandmother.
Good
night, All right. kid. Steal from
Good
Lee's
night.
Grandmother.
Yeah.
Good night, Lee's grandmother, whoever you are.
Oh, my God. She should bring her to, like, Dragon Con and just, like, Fagin.
No, no.
Have with, all the people pickpocket from her.
Wait, no. With her grandmother and Scott's grandmother, and we can just have the Need Coffee grandmother panel.
There you go.
That would be awesome.
All right. On that note, leave it. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frufru, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
It's like you barely get, 3 ounces of liquid and then you're stuck with this horrible wax? Yeah.